of running as fast as I can. Wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again. Cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man.
Welcome to I Totally Paused, the podcast that deep dives into the most iconic moments in teen pop culture from the 90s and the early 2000s. I'm Jess.
And I'm Siobhan.
And we have our first guest ever live in the room with us. It's so exciting. We've got Blake Fodor here.
Hello.
So Blake is a friend of the pod. Blake, well, we know each other because I was Blake's drama teacher when he was in high school. Blake is one of, I would say, three former students that I have kept in touch with and consider a friend now. He babysits my kids. He's like a grown adult now, so we get to do the podcast.
He's here drinking a beer with us.
He is. It's a big milestone. He's here having a beer with us. So Blake had been listening to the podcast, and this episode came about because I got a text from Blake last week out of the blue that said, "How do you feel about Amanda Bynes?" And I'm always happy to talk about Amanda Bynes. So we are here today to talk about Amanda Bynes, and she's the man.
So She's the Man that came out in 2006. It was directed by Andy Thickman, who I saw he directed Reefer Madness, like the musical.
I was just telling you about that.
Yeah.
Remind me before you leave. I probably have the DVD in my basement. You should watch it.
Jessica's going to be awesome, Jessica. I remember
I love Reefer Madness. It's like a musical parody of the propaganda film from like the 30s?
50s.
30s, 40s, 50s. You know the film. It's like a musical. Kristen Bell is in it. It's really good. Okay. Highly recommend.
And it's funny, too, because like I actually saw like bits and pieces they had on TV like not that long ago, and it really is like as crazy as I think it is. It's like, look at this man. He's like all acting like he's on heroin, but he's really like smoking weed.
Like, one of the people who smokes goes and like kills their family or something.
And they jump out a window. Like the girl gets high and jumps out a window like she's on like meth or something.
In the musical, the kid, I think his name is Jimmy, he's in love with Kristen Bell, whose name is Mary Lane, but he leaves her for guess who? For the Mary Jane.
Oh, no.
And he also directed The Game Plan, which I thought was really cute.
I don't know what that is.
That's the one with The Rock, and he has, like, doesn't know he has a daughter, and the daughter, it's like one of those movies.
Oh, I remember that. That was like a Disney movie.
It's like
wasn't
Big
it?
Daddy, oh, okay. But he was like a football player. But it was cute. I remember I saw it actually just like literally within the last year for the first time. It was on TV. I was like, oh, this is cute. So this guy does some like really fun movies.
Mm-hmm.
It grossed.
I had 57.2 million worldwide. They made it for 20 million.
Yeah, they made it for 20 million. It made 10 million the first weekend, so that's pretty cool.
It opened at number 4 in the North American box office in 2006, which is the year that we graduated from college. How old were you?
2006?
Yeah.
I believe I was 10 years old. 96.
Okay.
I was 10 years old.
Cool. You're not a person.
And you were into this, like, at the time, or did you get into it later?
I think it was probably,
was
like,
your sister into it?
Yeah,
she's a few years older.
My sister's 2 years older than me, so she had the DVD probably, like, a year later.
Okay.
And being around that age, 12, 13, I was kind of like, I just liked funny jokes and stuff. And the movie has funny jokes.
Yeah, it made me laugh out loud a few times.
And I remember thinking, it wasn't, like, for a high school movie, it wasn't super racy, because it doesn't have, like, do they drink at all? Movie?
No.
Is there really anything about sex either?
They haze them at one point.
Yeah, but not really any drinking, not much about sex.
Because my niece is like, well, we're going to be 12, and I was like, she loves soccer. I feel like this, she could watch this movie and be like, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty tame, I felt like. It was, you know, this is the first movie I was thinking we've talked about on the podcast where, like, when we decided to do it, I was like, I vaguely know what the premise of that is, I had never seen it. I didn't really
know
anything about it. I did.
Yes.
I only found that out doing basic research before I watched it.
It says it at the beginning of the play. It says, at the beginning of the play, at the beginning of the movie, it says based on William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. So I actually wrote in my background notes before I watched the movie, so I assume she'll be reading Twelfth Night in English class, but she didn't. That's usually what happens.
In the beginning of the movie, they might reference it or something, but
that's usually what goes on in these movies. Well, a lot of the names, I'm not super familiar with Twelfth Night, but a lot of the names of the characters I know come from. Comes on the play. Do we want to talk about Amanda Bynes before or after?
I can talk about Amanda Bynes anytime.
Well, okay, so, you know what? Let's talk about it after.
Yeah.
Let's go through what happens in the movie. But before we start, I have to tell you guys something. I've been holding on to this all week, and I'm really excited. Okay, so, we just, like, you guys were just introduced like you've never met before, but you have met before, and I will tell you when. You were sitting next to me, and if my memory serves, you were sitting on my other side when we all saw If Then on Broadway.
I was wondering, when you mentioned, earlier Jessica mentioned them going to see another show.
And you guys, James Snyder, who was, like, the male lead, like, Idina Menzel's love interest.
Oh, yes.
He's, like, the creepy dorky guy in this movie.
Oh, no way!
That's James Snyder!
He was actually my favorite character in the
movie. He's great, and we met him after the show. He came out to the stage door, and I have told everyone how, like, gracious James Snyder was, because we saw a matinee. He came out. A lot of my students were, like, really disappointed that Idina Menzel wasn't coming out, and he spent so much time with them. To the point that, like, I had to be like, we have to go, our bus is here. And he was, like, giving me a hard time. He was like, what? We're having fun. We're hanging out. Like, yes. He was so sweet. He was so nice. He was talking about how, so in the Crybaby musical, which was, like, a short-lived musical, he played Crybaby Walker. Crybaby's one of my favorite movies. And I, like, told him when we were, like, all standing around chatting forever, I was like, oh, I was so sad I didn't get to see that. That's the movie that, like, made me love Johnny Depp. And James Snyder went, well, don't feel too bad. Johnny Depp didn't see it either. Okay. So we were just talking while I was letting the dog out about how I remembered that Blake was the one sitting next to me at that show because I remember as soon as it was over looking at me and going, I could tell you didn't like it.
Yeah, that was the first
time. I did not.
Yeah, it was first Broadway show I never cared for. And I was excited to see it. I was like, I don't really know the premise. I just know, like, they're calling it, like, the Sliding Doors type musical. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to listen to any music. I'm just going to go in blind and blah, blah. Yeah. And I was ooh.
We were all excited for that one because it was right off of
Frozen
just came out, right, like, the year prior or a few months prior. So everyone in the class was really excited for it. And I remember when she came out on stage, everybody just freaked out. Everyone was having
and
a good time.
For me, that's what I always tell people about that show. For me, seeing it was worth the moment of hearing I remember exactly who it was. I'll tell you after. One of my students sitting behind me, like, audibly, like, when? Because the show opens to, like, lights up on Idina Menzel, like, alone on stage. And that was, like, just, because I know how it is when you're, like, so excited to see, like, that star you're there to see. So, like, that was really nice. But I honestly, if I had not been chaperoning a trip, I might have left at intermission. Because at intermission, I did not care what happened to a single one of those people.
That's how I explained it to people when I said I didn't like it. I was like, because in the play, the first, there's like two roads that she goes down, and there's two guys on each storyline.
And the other one that's not James Snyder is Anthony Rapp, so that was also very exciting. That was the other thing I was like hanging in for.
Yes, that's why I was excited to see Anthony Rapp and Idina on stage together. But so, at the end, I think they both proposed to her at the end of the first act, and I was like, I do not care who she picks. I could care less.
Ugh. And then somewhere in the second act, there's like a plane crash, and that's when I think I was like,
I started laughing.
During the plane crash was when you threw up your hand. And I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, oh, I don't think she's enjoying this very much.
And I started laughing hysterically, because I was like, if she dies, I'm just going to, like, it was just so funny to me. I was like, really?
It wasn't great. But James Snyder was good in it, and he was so, so sweet. To everyone afterwards. And now, James Snyder, that's not even the best part. You know what he's doing now? He's Harry Potter on Broadway.
Really?
Good for
Hell
him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, that creepy guy went far.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I know. I got so excited when I saw he was in this, and I was like, I can't text them right now.
Yeah, he was my favorite character in the movie.
Well,
I really liked him.
He's a theater guy. Are we ready? Ready to get into it?
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the casting a little bit.
Sure.
What
you got?
So, Jesse McCartney was almost going to be Sebastian. And they thought...
I read that.
Yes, but he was unavailable.
Amanda Bynes' brother in the movie.
Correct. Yeah. And then I liked Amanda Bynes apparently fought for the producers to choose Channing Tatum.
Yeah, well, apparently I read she, like, fought for him and she was like, oh, the girls will love him. Like, I'll just get this out of the way now and say Channing Tatum is solidly not my type.
So I never really got the appeal of Channing Tatum, but in this, I was like, oh, he's cute, and I liked his character. But then I saw a clip. I never saw Magic Mike. And then I saw a clip of Magic Mike dancing, and I was like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, that's like not my thing. We once went, when we lived in New York City, and we were about your age, we went to
Thunder from Down Under. Yes.
We, like, for some reason, had free tickets. Like, I worked at the Continental in Atlantic City at the time, and someone, like, came in and gave us all comp tickets. And I was like, oh, well,
not
we were roommates at the time.
Seats.
Yeah, we were like, all right, we'll go to the Thunder from Down Under.
Well, like I said, I've seen this movie a bunch of times, but I haven't seen it in maybe, like, 6 years, 5 years, maybe. So when I watched it, you know, before this episode, I was like, oh my god, that's Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Channing Tatum. That's the main guy. Okay, wow. That's I didn't even, you know.
Well, apparently this was like, he had done, like, what did she say, like a Mountain Dew commercial?
Something.
And that
like
was like
that.
All he had ever done
before.
But
yeah.
I found him very likable in this. I was not surprised that he went on to have a career.
We'll get into what I think about him through the movie. I mean, I like a soccer player.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been into, like, the football player type. I like a soccer player or, like, a baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Mm. Yeah, but Channing Tatum credits Amanda Bynes for helping start his career for real.
No, that's nice.
Yeah. Wow, you realize you're so, you know... I mean, I'm pretty always passive about Channing Tatum, but I actually kind of like this movie. I was like, all right, I'll check it out more.
His I forget, it's in my notes somewhere later. I compared him to, like, a frat boy that I would have hooked up with in college, but I said something else about him. I don't remember. We'll get to it.
Okay.
We'll get there. The movie opens to, like, a bunch of, like, cool kids playing soccer on the beach. Amanda Bynes is a cool girl. Like, she's got, like, a cute boyfriend who plays soccer. We see them, like, kissing. Just from, like, what I knew about the premise of the movie, I assumed she was, like, a dorky girl. Because I feel like they usually are in these movies.
Oh, yeah.
But she's not. She's a cool girl.
No, she's definitely cool.
So they're playing soccer on the beach, and she's sitting with her boyfriend, and they're talking about soccer, and they're, like, kissing. And he tells her that she is better than half the guys on his soccer team.
No,
he says it. We all hear
yes,
it.
Yes, we all hear it. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Our ears are
we'll circle back to that.
Yes. Right? We'll come back later.
Yeah. So we're back at school. She's super into soccer. She and her friends are talking about like the colleges that they want to go to. She wants to go to the University of North Carolina.
So I guess they're seniors?
It's like,
it's
their, like, rising seniors.
Okay.
They're, like, going into senior year. I would assume.
That's
yeah.
another thing. I couldn't tell if they were in college or in high school, because none of them were high schoolers.
Oh, I had a lot of questions for a while.
Well, they never look like high schoolers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah. So, okay. I get the impression that, what's Amanda Bynes' character's name? They almost
Viola.
Never use
Viola.
It. Viola yeah. and Sebastian. Obviously, they come from, like, wealthy families, because
mm-hmm.
we find out in a little bit Viola's expected to be this, like, debutante. So
right.
I assume they're going to really preppy private schools. Sebastian's at, like, a boarding school, and that's why it, like, kind of seems like college, but it's high school.
Right.
Okay.
But why aren't they at the same school?
Oh, I think it's because he got kicked out of the school, didn't he?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. And also, I hear sometimes people send bad kids. One of my cousins was got sent to boarding school. I was like, wish I misbehave. I get to go to boarding school with all these cool people. Like, you know, like, it's nice,
yeah.
fancy thing. So.
Get an extra 4 years of college.
Yeah, exactly.
She finds out that her school has cut the girls' soccer team because not enough girls signed up, which, like, doesn't say much for their soccer program, I feel.
No, and it's kind of funny. They, like, arrived to practice not knowing that there wasn't
mm-hmm.
enough people coming. And, like, and they don't seem
day.
To have a coach either. And you notice, because when they talk to the adult, it's the boys.
It's the
boys'
coach, right.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny. But you would think that could have been a little thing of itself, getting all the girls to, like, try to sign up.
Right, that could have been a whole different movie. But,
like,
nope.
Yeah, I mean, those girls were kind of lazy. They should have, like, recruited a little bit more.
No, so what they decide they're going to do is ask to try out for the boys' soccer team, which, like, okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I like a good girl power movie. But the fucking coach, you guys.
Do you want to hear how I describe the coach? I describe him as, like, one of the evil bad guys in, like, an 80s teen movie who, like, grew up to be a coach.
Yes.
Doesn't it, like, seem he's
well, that's,
just, like
what gym teachers are.
Yeah.
Sorry.
True.
Not sorry.
There's a lot of 80s teen villain vibes in this movie.
Yes.
And I will point them out as I
He says to her, girls aren't as fast as boys, or strong, or athletic. That's not me talking. That's a scientific fact. This man is a teacher at their school.
Yeah, but he's a sports teacher, let's be fair.
I obviously don't have as many notes as you guys do, but one of the notes that I wrote down is, in quotes, girls can't beat boys, go die, boy. that's the extent of my comments on that scene.
I like that.
Well, Viola handles this scene beautifully. So her boy, like, the whole team comes around, and it turns out her boyfriend is the captain of the boys' soccer team. And not only does he not this is when I texted you and I was like, I'm 6 minutes into this movie and I am raging.
Oh, yeah.
Not only does he not take her side, he completely gaslights her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She says, you said I'm better than half the guys on your team. And he straight up is like, I didn't say that.
I feel like a lot of girls can relate to, like, being in front of people and being like,
But you said
boy,
that.
The boy that likes me, you said this.
Yes.
And then they totally act differently
yes.
than their guy friend.
Yes.
They gotta be cool.
Yes. I was, so deeply triggered. I was raging.
Yeah, I think so many
that
girls,
scene.
And really a lot of people probably, I'm sure there's guys that, like, when the girls are in front of their girlfriends, they act different towards the guy, like.
But you know what she does about it? She fucking dumps him right there.
Right.
He's, like, conversation over, and she's, like, relationship over.
I love
yes,
that.
Girl.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. The stage is kind of set for what's going to happen next because her brother's girlfriend mistakes her for her brother from behind. She's, like, trying to, like, get into
right.
her house, and, like,
Monique,
brother has,
yeah,
Monique is, like, the crazy girlfriend, And she mistakes him from behind, and she says that it's probably because her lack of curves.
Yes. Jeez. And the viola is like, well, maybe we should call 1-800-BIOTCH.
Burn.
I literally wrote down, oh, man, what a sick burn for that one. Like,
that
oh
is
God.
Easily the burn of the movie.
She said it with such a pride.
Yeah. You can tell she was, like, saving that one.
Well, Channing has another good burn later in the movie, but I'll say that when it comes.
So she gets home. Who is that actress who plays her mom?
I think she's the assistant from True Beverly Hills. I think she's
why I recognize
her. Oh, okay. I'm so excited I wrote that in my notes.
She's very familiar to me. Do you know who she is? I don't
know
why, though.
While you guys talk about...
Yeah, you can IMDb that for us. Okay. So she gets home, and her mom has all of these insane debutante gowns for her.
Very 80s,
I have
too.
A lot of things to say about this. First of all, it's 2006. In, like, the suburbs of whatever state they're in, I don't understand why a debutante ball is a thing.
That was pretty weird to me, too. I'm not familiar with that.
What a debutante is?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't expect you to be. It's basically, like, high class, like, upper class girls, when they're 18, they get, like, introduced into society. Mm-hmm. And in, like, the oldies, this is when they're, like, eligible for marriage, basically. You can start courting them. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it at the end. There's this whole thing where they, like, present them, like, at the country club or whatever, and they dress up. And so girls, like, back in the day would, like, each have their own debutante ball, like, almost like a sweet 16. The parents would throw, like, this ball, and it would be the girls, like, coming out in society.
And sometimes, especially in a big city like New York City, like, they would be almost, like, local celebrities. They would be part of the society pages. There's, like, this really good book I read once by a woman that, I forget her name now, but she was, like, a teenager, and she became the debutante of the year.
Yeah, like the Kardashians of their time.
It's exactly what, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Famous for being, like, rich and beautiful.
But it wasn't common in, like, 2006.
No, not with anyone I know.
Well, because, you know,
I have to ask, because my brother-in-law, Sam, his mom was a debutante. Mm. And I was, like, thinking that was, like, the most recent person I've ever heard of being a debutante.
I would really like to hear about
they
that.
They do actually, if they do debutante balls, they actually do, and it's, like, the super rich, the super famous do it now, and it is, like, a very elite. Type thing.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, well, maybe this is something that, like, really, really.
Now it's like up to a higher echelon of, like,
not like a girl who's living in the burbs,
right?
Like in a house with
her mom. Back then it was, though, you know, back in the 60s and probably even 70s, it was like girls.
Right.
Now, the mother that we're trying to figure out the place for, she was in Just Friends. Remember that movie with, Ryan Reynolds, I think?
Oh, yeah, that was a good movie.
And then she was in the Airplane movies. But those
know.
Are, like, so old, so she must have done that when she was younger.
I'll have to look at that later.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive she was in True Beverly Hills, though.
But she has, so the mom has these, like, insane gowns. Like, not only does the mom obviously not know her at all to think she'd be into this debutante stuff, but the gowns look straight out of the 80s. They've got, like, the puffed sleeves. They're, like...
huge bows.
They're actual insanity.
Yeah, it's, like, very shiny 80s-type fabric. Yeah.
So she tells the mom... that she doesn't want to go, and the mom's like, oh, you know, Justin, the boyfriend, will be so, like, you know, he'll love you in these, and she says that she dumped Justin, and the mom is like, but why? He's so handsome and so chiseled.
Yeah, the mother isn't torn up about soccer being cut, but she's sad that her crush, aka her daughter's boyfriend, is not going to come around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls him chiseled and rugged. Can you imagine if your mom talked about when your boyfriend's
he's
like
also
that?
Not that hot.
No, he's fine. No,
he's like a cute boy, but yeah. I don't know. Yeah. No, I can't imagine. It's gross. Although I was a little bit triggered by that because my parents have been notorious for not, like, having crushes on me and my brother's, like, partners, but for not taking our sides in breakups and for, like, continuing. My college boyfriend, who I dated for my first 3 years of college... And who did not treat me well.
No, he was not nice to her.
No, he was horrible.
Especially when
we broke up. He was a monster. I broke up with him and he, like, full-on harassed me. Like, if we had been, like, as woke at the time then as we are now, like, I would have had a restraining order. He was insane.
It was unnecessary.
So, but then, like, we broke up in, like, August. And then, like, that Christmas, my parents sent him a Christmas card. And I was, because when I broke up with him, my parents, like, did not want to hear about, like, how badly he treated me. They were upset with me because I broke up with him the week before he was going to take the MCAT.
Okay.
And they were like, you could have waited until after his test. Like, I've been waiting for 2.5 years. Like,
And he was, like, barely around all that summer anyway.
So I was very triggered by her mom, like, not being on her side when she was breaking up with her bad boyfriend.
Yes. So Viola goes upstairs, and she finds her brother, and he's basically about to sneak out of the house. He says he's planning to go to London for a music festival. And at first, I thought he was just going to, like, attend, but he's actually playing in the music festival. And he's supposed to go to school, and he's, like, asking Viola for her help to kind of, like, delay him not having to go for a couple weeks. And, like, actually wants her to call the school and, like, I guess pretend he's sick or something. And she goes, you know how many bands make it to the big time? The same amount as female soccer players.
Ooh.
I was like, that was a really good burn.
Yeah.
Her brother, he, like, skates.
He says to her, if you want to chase your dreams, you gotta break some rules.
Ooh,
and the seed is planted.
Such good brotherly advice. I like that.
By the way, just thinking of this right now. If he's under 18, how is he signing these contracts and stuff and going
other places? I have no idea.
Well, you could technically be 18 at the beginning of senior year.
Well, yeah, I guess
I turned 18 December of senior year. So it's possible.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a mood.
Just thinking about
that. No. The mother says to Violet, sometimes I think you might as well be your brother. And that just,
All right, so she goes to see her friend, who I guess is like some kind of stylist.
Teenage stylist,
In like a salon.
Right.
And she says she wants to be transformed into her brother so she can try out for his school's soccer team and beat her school's soccer team because they're rivals and they're going to be playing this big game.
And this is where I got confused because when she said, oh, they're going to play Cornwall, I, like, misheard it and thought she said Cornell, and I was like, oh, so he's in college, and she's gonna go to college, and I was like, how does she even know their soccer schedule already?
Yeah.
I was like, she really into soccer, wow, but...
Yeah, no, it's Cornwall, it's her brother's school.
I have another question about her joining this, like, planning to join the soccer team. Well, I guess this had to do with more if it was a college, because I was like, wouldn't they know all the players coming in, but I guess there is always tryouts.
Yeah, and he's, like, new to the school, so no one would, like, know what he looked like.
That's true.
Although, so, okay, so we see them transform her. They put, like, a wig on her, they give her these fake sideburns, they tape her boobs down,
And it was to the Mary Tyler Moore theme song, which I thought was, like...
Yeah, I remember that cover from, like, back in the day.
And which was really appropriate because, like, the Mary Tyler Moore show, that was in the late 60s, early 70s. It went through the 70s, and it was about her being a woman breaking into to, like, news reporting and being
Nice, which was, like, man's game. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I thought it was great that they used that song. So I was like, oh, that's a little nod to Mary Tyler Moore, who was, like, one of the originals that, like, and she was always known as, like, you know, a big feminist icon because of that. So I thought it was appropriate. I liked it.
They transform her, and she still looks like a girl.
Right? They just cut her hair, and she's not wearing makeup.
Yeah. So I guess this is, like, a time we can talk about this. I read... I'm sure you guys did too, that Amanda Bynes said that she went into, like, a big depression after she saw this movie because she hated the way she looked as a boy.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's
Well, think about how much time she would have spent filming as a boy, too.
And then to watch it and have everyone else watch it, like, it's embarrassing.
And you're very famous? Like, that has to suck. Like, I hate it when I have to go out and I don't feel attractive.
Right.
And, like, just regular people have to see me. If you're on a huge screen, think of all the... press she had to do, all the posters, all the commercials. Like, it was everywhere.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's embarrassing. Yeah, so I felt sad for her. So she goes to the school, and I guess we get a glimpse into what a boy dorm would be like. And it wasn't until this moment that I realized that my school had co-ed dorms.
Utter chaos.
It's utter chaos. They're playing full-on sports games.
Multiple sports. It's football. It's frisbee. It's baseball.
I wrote down my notes. I never want to go to an all-male school. If
no.
This is what it's like.
I know.
It's not like that.
Kids are skating down a hallway, and she is, like, looking totally out of her element. She looks horrified.
Yeah.
Yes. But she makes it to her room, and there are three other guys waiting for her.
One of them is Channing Tatum.
Yes. And she gives them, like, an awkward handshake.
She has some girl's dream.
And they call Sebastian, quote-unquote, out for, like, being kind of young-looking. And I skipped a couple grades. That's all.
She has tampons with her that fall out of her bag. And they're
good,
like,
save, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's awesome. Here. She's like, why do you have tampons? And she says that she sticks them up her nose for nosebleeds. And she goes, David Beckham does it all the time.
I thought that was, like, a very clever save for her.
Yeah, it's funny. So they're like, okay. So they go out to soccer tryouts. And I have a question for you, Blake, as the boy in the room.
Well,
Is Shirts and Skins a thing?
Yes. Yes,
really?
Yeah, that's how they divvy up the players.
In real life?
When you're out in the heat and the sun and you're sweating.
Like in gym class?
Well, not like an indoor or high school gym class, but maybe for like an actual.
Remember
really?
In gym class we had like the vests that
right.
we wear?
Right, I'm just wondering if they force boys to run around topless.
That's like funny to me. I guess with guys, it's shirtless, not topless.
Is it different?
I don't know.
I think they're synonyms.
I don't recall ever doing that for her.
Okay, because that seemed like dark to me. So she like panics because she's like, I have to be a shirt. I have to be a shirt. Because obviously she's not going to.
I think it's dark if you don't like your body.
Well, sure. And a lot of boys, I feel like we take for granted that boys are like okay with their bodies.
I'm not saying that boys don't. I'm just saying that's it's dark. Like, believe me, if I was in high school and they did that, skirt, like, bras and skin. I'd be like, no.
Oh, my God. So.
But she is wiped out after the day of soccer tryout.
Yeah, so she does the tryouts, and she ends up making the second string team, which is, like, really heartbreaking, because I really wanted her to have that moment where she's like, hell yeah, I'm as good as the boys. Doesn't happen for her.
And she's about to have a shower, and she's, like, freaking out about what she's going to do, and she gets saved. She gets called to the principal's office.
Yeah, and now she's worried because her brother is, like, kind of a screw-up, it turns out. He got kicked out of his last school. She's trying to hide his file. And the principal comes in. That's David Cross, right?
Yeah,
that's his name. Yeah.
Me too.
I was pretty sure that was his name. In my notes, I was like, Tobias is the headmaster.
Yeah,
I love Arrested Development.
And so, like, he, like, sings a song when Sebastian is, like, welcome Sebastian.
He only plays one character, and I never get sick of it.
Me either.
It's fine.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
I first saw David Cross in Alvin and the Chipmunks, the movies.
Oh.
And I don't like those movies, but my favorite part of those movies is David Cross.
Mm. Oh,
because
cool.
he is so funny. He is so dry. He's so like, I don't even know how to describe his performance, but he is similar to that.
And apparently he did a lot of ad-libbing in this movie. Like
I believe it.
Yeah.
I first got into him with Arrested Development, but then Jared and I watched that other show he had.
Todd Margaret.
Yeah. Have you ever watched that?
No.
It's on Netflix. It's funny.
Hmm.
I remember that show Just Shoot Me that took place in the magazine?
Yeah.
And he was like the brother of one of the characters.
Really?
And he would show up every once in a while, but the joke was that like he pretended to be like mentally challenged so he never had to work or like get a job or do anything.
Funny.
And it's like them trying to like, and he had this like one thing, he's like, chicken pot, pie. Like he had this thing that he's saying. So all you Just Shoot Me fans,
that's
that was
funny.
For you.
So she's, like, leaving the office. It turns out, you know, the headmaster just wants to, like, welcome her to school. And she leaves the office, and she has this kind of, like, meet cute with this girl. She runs into this girl. And they start talking, so they get in this whole conversation where, you know, Amanda Bynes is like, oh, I like your shoes. And she's like, oh, thanks, like, they're from Anthropology. And, you know, they have this, like, whole conversation before she realizes that, like, she's not supposed to be talking things like that, about things like that. Was Anthropology less expensive in the early 2000s?
No, it was, because I remember when being in college in New York, and, like, that was, like, the first Anthropology I saw, and they were like, oh, yeah, it's, like, the nicer Urban Outfitters, and I went, I was like, this store is really nice.
Because I love Anthropology, but I always have to shop the sales, it's so expensive, because the first thing I thought when she said that was, you could easily spend hundreds of dollars on a pair of shoes in Anthropology.
They're rich, they're in the school, so.
That's
fine. So then they go over to, like, they're in the cafeteria, right?
Mm.
Is the headmaster serving the kids?
He may be. This is another very, like, triggering conversation.
Yeah.
Because, it's just funny for me to see David Cross just doing this. He, one minute he's the principal, and in the very next scene, he's like, I'm the cafeteria person.
I think he just, like, lovingly wants to, like, keep an eye on the kids. It's kind of like the moms who let their kids play outside, but they're, like, peeking through the window.
Right,
like, yeah. You know.
Right. So they start talking. Amanda Bynes says something about, like, his sister, and one of the guys, she's with Channing Tatum and his, like, friends. And one of them says, is your sister hot? And she goes, she's got a great personality. And one of the guys goes, ew.
Oh, my God.
And then they start talking about this other girl, and they're talking about how, like, she's going through, like, a breakup.
Don't they say, like, check out the booty on that blondie? And Channing's like, don't talk about her like that.
It's the girl that Amanda Bynes had, like, the meet cute with. It turns out Channing Tatum has, like, a really big crush on her. But they're talking about, like, how she had a breakup, and one of them is like, her self-esteem is really low right now. It's time to pounce.
It's terrible.
It's disgusting.
But you know guys talk like that.
Yes, they do.
Okay, well, wait, now's my turn.
Go ahead.
Most guys don't talk like that.
We
like the Channing Tatum type guys talk like that, which is ironic because Channing Tatum is the one who doesn't.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of guys don't do that, and they would call out.
I would hope so. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you're
so
calling them out, yes.
Yeah.
As long as someone's calling them out, set a good example for the others. I like that.
So then we meet James Snyder's character for the first time, and he sits down with, I don't have anyone's names in my notes. I have, like, James Snyder. He sits down with the pretty girl.
Olivia.
And it turns, this is the girl that Channing Tatum is, like, in love with, and James Snyder, like, sits down with her.
And Channing, like, is, like, mad dogging him. He hates him.
Yeah.
And he's another one that looks like a very 80s teen
villain. Yeah.
Which he really is. That's, like, essentially his whole character.
Yeah. We see her again trying to sneak into the shower when nobody's there. Do boys not have private showers? Like, in dorms?
Don't look at me.
I've never been in a dorm. I would assume they do have private showers, unless it's, like a gym shower.
Right. Is this just, like, a device for the movie that we have to have, like, open showers?
In college, when I had my freshman year, we had the bathrooms were all shared for the whole floor. And so there were, you know, three shower stalls, or three or four. So I just assumed
in the high school gym locker room, you know, that was just kind of like an open bathroom.
Really?
Oh, so that really does exist?
I mean, they have a stall in there, and they have, like, a curtain for the shower, but, like, the general room, it looks like that.
Gross. I just joined a new gym, and they have really nice showers, and I really like it. I showered there for the first time. Yeah.
This is when she has the dream of playing soccer.
Yes.
And her
so she ends up, like, not getting to shower because the boys come in. And then she has this nightmare where she finally gets put in the soccer game, but she's wearing the debutante gown.
And she's trying to play, and suddenly her dream is interrupted by water being poured and what appears to be their initiation to the team.
Yeah, apparently the soccer team hazes, which I guess sports teams do. As we've discussed before on the pod, I was very heavily involved in the Greek system. I have seen a lot of hazing. I was not hazed, but I've seen a lot of hazing from the boys, so I guess I never really thought about what the
talk
athletes
about,
do.
Once again, all this movie is trying to get young men to take off their clothes. There's so many, it's like scene after scene, it's like, all
right,
undress.
Right, and I said, part of the hazing includes them getting naked, as I know hazing tends to do, because boys are weird. I can tell you, like, I would be embarrassed to repeat to you guys some of the things I've heard that fraternities have
just do it.
Boys
never
do.
One.
No, I don't.
Give us one.
I'll tell you a tamer thing that doesn't involve the boys getting naked. Let me think. You know, something gross. Okay. So there was one fraternity, this is just, like, funny and gross. One of the fraternities, they would give the boys a goldfish in, like, a cup of water.
Oh, no.
And they weren't allowed to feed it, and they weren't allowed to change the water, but it's, like, not allowed to die. But, of course, it does die, and when it dies, they have to, like, drink the whole cup of water with the goldfish.
I've heard of that.
I've heard of that, too.
It's real gross. There was, I don't know what they do now, but when I went to the school I went to, there was a fraternity that did that.
So she sneaks away and she pulls the fire alarm to avoid removing her clothes.
At this point, we start to see everyone thinks she's weird. Like, I really enjoy how, like, she's not pulling this off. It's not like she's getting away with it. The guys don't want to be around her. Like, no one like, suspects that
have
she's
we
a girl.
Have discussed how she talks yet? Like,
her
the weird,
that weird accent.
Male impression.
Yeah, like, yeah. Here, we're staring at her.
It's
like,
almost as good as Mulan's, you know.
What I was gonna say was what her voice reminds me of is how John Travolta speaks as Edna in Hairspray. If you listen again to this movie, you will hear the same voice. That's where I got it from.
So in preparation for doing this today, I watched the first half of Hairspray. I didn't finish it just because I liked it and just didn't feel like finishing it.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing John Travolta as Edna, it was kind of surreal.
Had you never seen the movie before?
I have seen it before, but, like, I never really, like, I guess I never really paid attention to the scenes that he was in.
Yeah.
We
John
love
Travolta
to hate John Travolta on this podcast.
Yeah.
John Travolta is in drag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Travolta thought he was hilarious as Edna.
Oh,
like,
you know he did.
You know, as when you're watching it, you know John Travolta's thinking this whole time, like, they're going to think this is hilarious. I'm in a dress, guys. I'm a man playing women.
Can you believe it?
Hilarious. I'm going to give back all my awards.
Oh, my God. John, we've said this on the podcast before, but we love to hate John Travolta because when Heath Ledger died, we read a statement where John Travolta said that it was, like, such a tragedy and he would give back all of his awards if the world could have Heath Ledger back.
What?
So, of course, we, at the time, were like, Wait.
What awards.
What awards.
His Razzies.
So, and he had some Razzies.
Yeah.
I think he had...
I knew he'd never been nominated for an Oscar,
no.
So I was like, what awards,
no,
John.
No. And it was like, there were like some MTV movie awards. Like, it was so embarrassing. And then we dug further, and like, he had never even been in a movie with Heath Ledger. We were like, what? Such an attention whore. So, anyway...
Is this when she calls her friend, her friend answers the phone, hello, my life sucks. Because I found that very funny. Yeah.
So,
there's a lot of good throwaway lines. I feel like this is a movie, the more you watch it, the funnier
it gets. Yeah, the funnier
it gets.
Yeah. I laughed out loud a few times. They do. I thought this was a really funny scene. So they stage this whole thing where her friends come in and pose like her hot ex-girlfriends.
Yes.
To like show how cool she is.
And what's cool is that when Viola's walking into Sebastian, Channing and his friends are like, oh no, 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 we don't want them to sit with us. And they're like spreading out, they're like man-spreading, because they don't want to have any room, because they're totally not interested.
The friends come in, and they all are like, you know, oh my god, Sebastian, I miss you, why haven't you called me, blah, blah, blah.
And he's sweet-talking all the ladies, and it like makes his roommates reevaluate their first thoughts on Sebastian.
Yeah, it 100% works, but what really like seals the deal is that the brother's girlfriend shows up for the brother, and so she has to like kind of like hide her face while she's like talking to
and
her.
Run
so
away from
she'll find out.
Yeah, so we get like all this physical comedy where she's running around hiding, and in the process she ends up savagely dumping the girlfriend in front of everyone. And now she's cool.
Channing says he's officially his idol. So now everyone knows who Sebastian is at school. Oh,
this is where I said, what is the weird accent she's doing?
What is the way she's talking in this? Oh, that's what
so
she
now
says to Channing, right?
Which yeah, because like, now they're in science class. So they're going to be picking their lab partners. Amanda Bynes gets Olivia, the girl that Channing Tatum likes, as a lab partner.
Yeah, and Olivia, like, nods to him. She's like, she gave you the nod. She gives good nods. That was a good point.
Yeah, because she's, like, Olivia, we're getting the sense, is, like, kind of into Sebastian, Amanda Bynes. Channing Tatum gets paired with the girl with the headgear. I'm going to be the best lab partner you've ever had. She's amazing.
I love her.
Yeah, same. She might be my favorite character.
And they were, like, dissecting... What were they dissecting?
On, like, the very first day of class, they're dissecting, like, some kind of reptile.
We had to dissect frogs, right?
In middle school.
In middle school.
And then in high school, I took advanced biology because I didn't want to take physics. And I had to do the fetal pig.
Oh, I was going to add, like, because that's how I remember walking down, because you always knew when they were doing it, because
you could smell it.
And then to walk by that classroom and just see all these pigs that are, dissected.
Yeah, I was never good at science, but biology was, like, my best science, so I decided to, like, stick with that as I had to move forward.
I didn't be like, get someone to write a letter, like, I'm Jewish, I can't do this.
I wish I had thought of it, because it was really traumatic. The thing I remember most about it is that when we did, and it takes, like, weeks to do, like, all the parts of it, and I remember when they said, like, fetal pig, I kept telling myself, like, well, it's not really going to look like a pig. But it's a pig that was, like, about to be born.
Oh, no.
It looks like a pig. It's
a pig. Yeah,
yeah. And the thing that, like, always sticks with me is that when we did the inside, like, all the parts of the inside of the mouth, we had to break the jaw. And it was awful.
I never had to do any of this stuff. I only ever dissected a skate once, and that was, like, my sophomore year.
Oh, we also had to dissect a worm. In middle school. I think that's led us up to the frog. We did the worm first, and then we did the frog. And I remember when I opened up the frog, and luckily, there was a girl who had transferred to the school, and she's like, oh my god, I love this stuff. I want to be a doctor. She's like, we already did this. I was like, oh, you can be my partner. And so she was my partner, and so she did everything. And I was like, okay, let me do this one part. And it was like, when you opened it up, the frog was a female. She had all these, like, eggs ready to be laid. So we had to take them out. That was part of the thing. I still remember, like, the feeling between my fingers and, like, pulling it. And I was like, I'm done. And
my lab partner in eighth grade was a boy, I will tell you the name when we're done, who had a crush on me since, like, kindergarten. Like, someone from the neighborhood who, like, did it all for me.
Well, that's the key, people. All you young kids, maybe all those middle schoolers listening to this, you find someone who's either done it before at their old school or a boy who likes you.
That's the ticket.
That's the ticket.
So they sit down to, like, start doing their work, and some of her brother's song lyrics fall out of her binder. And Olivia reads them, and she is, like, a smitten kitten.
Right.
Yay.
And then Malcolm is like, hey, I wrote a song too. Olivia.
And he sings.
But did you listen to what the words were?
No.
He goes, I see you through your window. I'm playing on the tree outside.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, because he's singing. So it's like, you don't realize. But that's what's like, wait a minute.
I know. This is why he's such a weirdo in this movie, but he's so dreamy in real life.
Oh, my God. He was amazing. He was so good.
Channing Tatum makes a deal with her. He says that he will work with her at soccer and make her good enough to be first string if she helps him go out with Olivia.
I like there's a teen movie plot within this teen movie plot.
Yeah, it's a twofer. So we see her wake up in the middle of the night to shower. So we learn that's how she's showering. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Okay, so this was the part that made me, like, literally laugh out loud. So we see her in the locker room, and she's, like, checking out, like, all the guys in the locker room, which is, like, kind of funny. And that's what I was saying. Like, soccer players tend to be hot, so that's, like, mm-hmm. relatable. So I literally laughed out loud. So they're at practice, and she gets hit, like, in the crotch with the ball, and she doesn't react. And they all, like, kind of stare at her. And then when she finally, like, realizes she's supposed to do something, she's going, "It burns! Yes. It burns!" Which, like, I obviously don't know, but I don't imagine the sensation is burning.
It's right? Not, yeah, I wouldn't say this. It's more like an extreme bruise.
Right, that's what I would imagine. And then when she started going, "It burns!" I literally LOL'd.
That was pretty funny.
And then we see... this was, like, a good, like, block of, like, funny in this movie. We see James Snyder, and he's talking to his pet spider.
Malvolio or something?
And we see that he's laying on a pillowcase with Olivia's picture.
Yeah.
And then it pans out, and his room is, like, plastered in pictures of her.
Right. And he's gonna do some digging on Channing Tatum and nip his chances in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
So the real Sebastian calls his sister, and she tells him it's all taken care of. And while she's on the phone messing with her wig, the headmaster catches her. And what he thinks is male pattern baldness, which just further endears female Sebastian to the headmaster.
Yeah, it's
more.
So cute.
Because, like, the Sebastian really has, like, a man crush on Sebastian.
Which I thought was, like, a little goofy at first. I was like, he thinks this teenager has male pattern baldness. But then I remembered I was good friends with a boy in high school who you could already tell that his hair was, like, receding. And he's, like, our age. And now he's completely bald.
Well, the principal says chicks dig it. Rawr.
I actually had a friend who was going through that in high school.
Really?
That's tough as hell.
We have a very close friend who got hair plugs in college because he wanted to be an actor, and his hair was receding, and his hair
looks, really worked. It did.
His hair looks great, but I saw him. You were probably there, like in the days after he got it. And it looked, I can still picture it. It was so gross.
Oh, I bet it was.
I saw it, like, healing when, like, it had just gotten
new. I remember when it was healing.
Gross.
Yeah, because that's what,
yeah. But it looks great now.
Yeah. And that was a long time ago he got it done.
He did it in college. Yeah, he was in college.
Malcolm came up to Olivia. He's like, "I don't want you to be worried, but Malvolio is missing." That's what I said. This guy's my favorite character.
And what does he say about, like, if you find him?
Don't feed him. Why would my first instinct be to feed him?
Olivia is talking to,
Duke.
She's talking about Duke.
Oh, says the, okay.
Channing Tatum is Duke. She's talking about him to Amanda Bynes, and she says he's good looking, but he's not her type. She says he's a jock who just wants to hook up with her and then tell his friends about it, which, like, fair. Like, that's the impression I get from... It's not, but, like, it's the impression I would get from him, too.
Well, no, that's you... If you don't know him, yeah, that's the impression. But we know that he genuinely, like, is crushing and, like, really wants to be with her.
Yeah. She convinces Olivia to, like, reconsider him as, like, a prospect. And then she passes out while they're doing the dissection.
And then Amanda, she learns that he's, like, not good at talking to girls, Duke.
Yeah, he says to her, like, "I'm not good at talking to girls." And she goes, "Why? You're hot." So they do this, like, whole role-playing thing where she says that, like, she'll act like a girl and he'll, like, pretend to, like, talk to her. And they do this, like, cute thing where she's trying to, like, help him, like, think of things to talk to. And she's like, you know, just ask her, like, if she likes cheese.
Oh,
and she's
yeah.
like, "I do like cheese. I like Gouda." And, like, it's just, it's cute.
I want to get another beer for you.
And then, so there's this, like, weird moment where they see the tarantula in the room and they both jump up on the bed and they almost kiss. Like, there's this weird moment where, like, the veil is pulled back for, like, half a second.
Oh my God.
And they almost kiss, but they don't. They're talking about how, I never know what to call her. Amanda Bynes is talking about how she has to go to this carnival the next day. And it turns out that Channing Tatum has to go too. Their moms are in the same, like, debutante club or, like, whatever.
What's the Rob Williams movie?
I think they call it the Junior League.
Where he has to go back and forth.
Yes, it's a very Mrs. Doubtfire moment that we get at the carnival. Good reference.
Yeah,
and she's expecting to see both the brother and the sister there, both her kids.
Right, the brother and the sister are both supposed to be there. People from school are going to be there. So now we see Amanda Bynes do this thing where she has to, like, go back and forth and change a bunch of times to, like, be both of them.
Now, the first time, she literally changes, like, as soon as she gets there and then changes right back, like, 10 minutes later.
Yeah, she's doing, like, these very brief appearances. We see her changing, like, on rides, and it's, you know,
That was a little weird. She changed on the ride, and then there was, like, a little
kid. Yeah, it was just, like, a kid sitting right there.
I was like, that's not appropriate. You can make it at one point.
So Olivia walks by and says to, like, come see her because she'll be at the kissing booth. Okay. We see that there is, like, we get this, like, really quick cut where there's a fortune teller, and he's telling this little girl, she's telling this little girl that she sees a kitten gasping for air. Probably the weirdest moment of the movie. Yeah, so she's doing the thing.
Doesn't she run into her ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, but before that, when she's, like, herself, when she's dressed as a girl, she runs into Channing Tatum, and he, like, kind of recognizes her. Like, he's like, do I know you? And she's like, nope. Like, runs away.
No, my brother.
Because she has the exact same face, and somehow no one completely
puts
this together.
She puts two little cheek implants on both sides of her face. That's the big difference.
And her sideburns. Yeah. Now she's at the kissing booth. Well, first she sees her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And he comes up to her, and he is, like, just horrendous. Like, she's like, you know, I've been trying to get in touch with you, and she's like, we're broken up. And he's like, no one breaks up over soccer. She's
like, be a girl for 5 seconds.
Be a girl for 5 seconds, and she slaps him in the face, and I love it. Like, I literally wrote in my lines, like, the way she handles him is, like, goals for my daughter. Like, this is how I hope she will be if she ever has a jackass boyfriend like this. Because otherwise, I will kill him. This is where we see her, like, on the tilt-a-whirl. She goes up to switch places with Olivia at the kissing booth, and Olivia, like, kind of recognizes her too. So
well,
Channing
should especially because she's really crushing on Sebastian.
Right. So Channing Tatum is in line to kiss Olivia, and he's like super bummed because they switch out as soon as he gets up to the front. So they're like kind of talking, and there's this little kid like in the back of the line who goes, "You don't have to flirt with her first, okay? Genius, you're paying for it."
Is that 12-year-old boy going to go and then make out with a?
Apparently.
Someone who looks over 18, but is supposed to be under 18.
Evidently,
I would not be a fan of doing a kissing booth. Like, I would just be
And then there's
about.
The old guy,
We
too.
Did it in college, but I feel like we didn't... I'm trying to remember the details. We would do it to raise money for the New Jersey AIDS Coalition at, like, this big event. And I want to say that what we did was put on, like, lipstick and then do, like, lipstick prints, like, on people's cheeks when they came out.
We didn't,
like, make out
of
there.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what we did.
This is also when I get confused because now I don't know who I'm rooting for because I thought we, like, wanted Channing to be with Olivia and then I got, like, confused because I was like, oh, wait, now we want
Now
her.
She likes him.
Right. And so I was like, remember my best friend's wedding? What am I rooting for exactly? Do I want him to be with Julia? Should he be with Cameron Diaz?
Yeah.
I
who
got
knows?
To this point. This is where I was at the carnival. I didn't
so they kiss and they, like, make out for real, like, at the kissing booth.
Mm-hmm.
And then her ex-boyfriend shows up and is like, you're kissing my girlfriend. And he wants to fight Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum takes the high road and tells him that they will settle it on the soccer field. And her idiot ex-boyfriend punches him.
He goes, you're Sebastian's sister and you're about to die. And then
cool.
When they talk about...
He's a cool guy.
And that's when they're talking about, like, you know, see you in the soccer field. What are you going to do? Drown me in your tears?
Yeah, because Channing Tatum has told us a story earlier about how he once made her ex-boyfriend cry on the soccer field.
God.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, when they're sitting in the cafeteria and he says, like, he says something about, like, his sister dating a soccer player from, like, that school. She says something about, like, how it's really important that they beat them. And then she's like, oh, my sister's ex-boyfriend. And she, like, says his
part.
Name. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they get in this big fight. And when she gets back to school, she gets back to the room. Channing Tatum is in bed with a tampon up his nose.
Yes. I know. But I do like how Duke was a gentleman. He's like, see you on the soccer field. We'll settle it then.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh.
As Sebastian, she's trying to convince Channing Tatum to ask his sister out. So, like, to ask her out. And she's, like, saying all this stuff. And Channing Tatum is like, why do you always talk about girls so graphically? I'm sorry, Channing Tatum, do you call out your other friends when they say that same bullshit? Because they do.
That's true.
Well, he did say it earlier when that was still Viola being like, oh, check out the booty on her. And he's like, don't talk to her like that.
Mm-hmm.
Channing is a modern-day feminist. Get over it.
Whatever. My very next note is, he thinks relationships should be more than physical. Let's give him a trophy. Like, we're supposed to think he's, like, such a good guy.
When
does he actually want something more than
that.
Sex from this girl? Well, that's another story. It reminded me of a story.
Yeah.
But that's
so, this is when Olivia is starting to use Duke to make Sebastian jealous, right? They're back in class.
Duke is the kind of idiot frat boy that I would hook up with in college and convince myself that I actually liked him for a couple of weeks before I realized he's just a hot dummy.
Yeah, fair.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
That was my assessment.
Yeah, that sounds like a fair assessment.
His personality seems to be soccer and then
yeah,
treat
his personality
women like people.
It's like, fine.
Okay, and he's attractive.
But, like,
but it's like,
the bar is so low.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be high when you look like Channing.
Maybe that's, you know what? Maybe that's why, okay, I'm just going to tell the story. Because maybe that's why I was so triggered and wanted to, like, not like him. So I dated this soccer player from school, the captain of my college soccer team, for, like, a couple years, off and on. And the last time we got back together, he was like, he was like, I feel like we should wait to, like, start sleeping together again because I feel like we should, like, work on, like, building a relationship and, like, yada,
aww,
yada. Right. But, like, it's, again, it's the bare minimum to be, like, interested in something other than sex from a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also someone who, like, was very sweet, a very nice person, but really just a hot dummy.
Oh.
And I think maybe that's why I reacted so strongly to Channing Tatum. In this movie. He was also one of the last people I dated before I met my husband, so that's, like, one of my, it's my most recent point of reference for a boy, even though it was many years ago.
Yeah.
So.
They go on the double date now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now we don't.
Oh, wait, no. Before that, we see James Snyder, like, taking, like, spy pictures of them when they're practicing soccer, and it seems like he's, like, on to her. They're in the gym, and Channing Tatum says he's going to ask her out, and Olivia is trying to talk him out of it now, because she's like, oh, I thought you were going to ask my sister out. And he's like, well, you know, I just met your sister once. Like, I'd like
to... Oh, right, okay.
Because
oh,
Olivia
comes
up and says that she's going to, like, get... She's going to make Sebastian jealous of Duke, and she, like, starts flirting with him, so he's going to ask her out. So she goes to, like, flirt with him. He's, like, a mess. And Olivia makes this date with them for dinner, and she says that they should double date. And Channing Tatum asks Olivia if she likes cheese, and it's really cute. They have to find, like, someone for Sebastian, for Amanda Bynes to go on a date with, and it's
the
Eunice, the girl with the,
yeah,
what's the word I'm looking for?
The
brace. Yeah, like, the big
the
braces,
headgear.
The headgear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Which, by the way, is, like, a thing that, like, all nerds in, like, movies and TV shows
right,
have.
But have you ever,
like,
seen it in real life?
No, I have
no.
I've literally never seen that.
It's like an archaic device from,
yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah,
that's what I said. Like, this seems mean. She's, like, so excited to be asked out on a date.
Yeah. Well, to her credit, when the guys see Sebastian with her, they start looking at her a different way.
Well, one of the friends, which I really liked, says, like, when I wanted to ask Eunice out, you all made fun of me. And I loved it.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, he was funny, too, because he was the guy that in the carnival, when he saw the clown, he was like, stay away from me, I'll kill you. Yeah, he was funny.
So Amanda Bynes ends up, like, leaving the double date. Olivia runs off after her. And Channing Tatum asks Eunice if she likes
cheese.
Yeah.
More than what she says, more than any other animal byproduct or something. He's like,
yeah.
Oh, a check, please.
So
that was my sister's favorite joke, so I remember that one before I saw it.
So we see the real Sebastian, and he's calling Monique and leaving a voicemail for her saying that he's coming home from London early, and they need to talk, basically.
Right. Now remember, she thinks he's been around this whole time and that he very publicly broke up with her.
Right.
Okay.
This is the junior league meeting.
So now they're at, like, the junior league meeting, and it's apparently, like, this, like, high tea to explain, like, the rules of being a debutante.
Mm-hmm. And Viola's eating like she is a wild animal.
Yes.
What was up with that? I was like, I understand. You're, like, not refined.
Right.
But you can, like, chew with your mouth.
No, she's,
like, come on.
Working up an appetite at soccer.
I guess
whatever. Olivia and Viola see each other in the bathroom, and Olivia admits to Viola that she's just using Duke to make Sebastian jealous. And so then it turns out
Monique
is in a bathroom stall. She comes out and they get into this, like, full-on fist fight over Sebastian.
Right. And, like, the people in, like, the junior league meeting, they can hear the screaming and, like, everything from
right.
the other room. Which they don't do anything about it at first. They all just sit there.
Like,
whatever.
Okay.
Yes. And then when they finally break it up, the woman says, when debutantes disagree, they say it with their eyes.
I missed that. That's great.
Oh, it was great. Yeah.
I love that.
As I said, the second half of this movie was really funny.
Yeah, we were texting yesterday and she hadn't finished it yet. And I was like, oh, I actually really liked it. Like, a lot more than I thought I would. And she was like, oh, I would not finish it if I didn't have to.
Yeah. And that's why I was like, that's why I stopped. Because I was like, my notes are getting really lazy. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stop it and finish it tomorrow. And I was glad I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie's really good for those one-liners.
Yeah,
it's,
agree.
Like, it's always the line at the end of the scene or, like, at the very beginning of a scene. Or
yeah.
It's, you know, the one character who's saying something that has nothing to do with the rest of the scene.
They did great casting with people who are good at, like, delivering these lines.
Yeah, they're
and,
all
like,
very
clippers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Amanda Bynes, obviously. She's, like, a comedian.
Yeah. So then a couple things happen really quickly. The real Sebastian shows up at the school, and Olivia runs outside and, like, kisses him and doesn't even realize that it's a person with a completely different face than the person
that's what I found so
she's
funny
been talking
too.
To.
Yeah, nobody realized.
I thought that at first, at least for, like, for the first, like, 20, 30 minutes of this movie, but then I was like, it's just the actors. I can't be thinking about this
entire movie. I think
they're
supposed to be twins. Right? Are they supposed to be twins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're supposed to be identical.
It took me about this long to figure it out.
Fraternal twin.
Yeah. I think that's, like, they are supposed to be, like, kind of, like, suspend disbelief, and they're probably supposed to be, like, considered more identical.
Well, because you said they had another actor in choice, but Amanda Bynes suggested Channing Tatum.
Well, Channing Tatum was for Duke. They had another for the
Jesse
brother.
McCartney.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm
because
sorry.
They thought.
Not Channing
yeah.
Tatum. I'm
yeah.
The brother.
Yeah, they had Jesse McCartney because they thought he like looked like Amanda Bynes.
Gotcha.
At what point does she say? I have written in my notes, and honestly, sorry, this is where my notes are bad. Where she goes, makes the comment that high heels were made to make it harder for women to run away.
I didn't hear that. That's
me.
Funny though.
I thought that was pretty funny.
No, that shook me. I was like,
well,
oh
that's,
my god,
that's
so
another
true.
One of those lines. It's like. All right, that made me laugh, you know?
So Monique gets the voicemail and realizes that, like, something is fishy here.
Yeah, she still doesn't know exactly what's going on.
Yes.
It takes her a while to figure this out.
Viola shows back up in the room, and now Duke is, like, upset because he saw the real Sebastian kissing Olivia,
mm-hmm.
and he thinks that the Sebastian that he's, like, been friends with all along, like, stabbed him in the back,
right.
And meanwhile, Amanda Bynes
sad.
Has, like, no idea what he's even talking about.
Yeah, it's really sad. He's so, they get into this big fight.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up kicking Sebastian out of the room, you know, Viola, and Monique comes by looking for Sebastian, you know, her Sebastian, and
mm-hmm.
he's like, well, he's not here, and, like, here's his phone because it keeps going off. And she's like, this isn't Sebastian's phone.
Mm-hmm.
And she answers it, and it's someone looking for Viola, and she still doesn't understand what's going on.
And then we see that, like, I don't know what happened, but I have in my notes that I must have missed how James Snyder somehow figured this all out. I guess, is this where we see James Snyder, like, talking to the principal?
I think it had something to do with the yearbook today. Yeah. No, you're right.
It
was something with the yearbook.
Because it was something with the twins were mentioned in the yearbook.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
yeah.
sense.
I watched this very late at night, the rest of it last night.
I did too, and
beat.
If I'm being really honest, I had, like, hit the pen a little bit. And
oh, I'm pretty sure
a little...
I smoked, yeah. No, I'm pretty sure I smoked before
yeah.
this. Yeah, so I was watching this.
I was cleaning
this,
my like, room,
okay.
I was doing a good child.
Oh, so awesome.
And then occasionally go over.
Oh, my God,
you're
I totally
kid.
Forgot. We have to pause for a second. So my Aunt Jane...
Hold on,
she,
do you want me to literally pause?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay,
is,
sorry,
no, she
ahead.
Wants this to be it.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, a couple funny things. I was at a wedding over this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it was all my family... like my aunts and uncles and cousins and people I don't get to see very often. And I don't broadcast that I do the podcast. Like, I don't force it upon people. But then when people heard, they're like, wait, you do a podcast? Like, we'll listen to it. And so I was going around and I was, you know, like having people subscribe. And then the next day, my Aunt Jane had listened to the Cribs episode that we did with Riley.
I really liked that episode.
And she was like, oh, it was really funny, da-da-da-da. Riley must have done a really good job at describing this because she thought Riley had been to Mariah Carey's apartment. And that's why we
hired... Oh my god, did you message Riley and tell
of
her
that? Of course
she
heard that. I was like, so what was Marilyn's piano like? Did you stay in the butterfly room?
Oh my god, that's
she loved
so funny.
It. Shout out to Aunt Jane.
Hey,
shout,
Aunt Jane.
Yeah, shout out to her dog, Maddie. She wanted to shout
hey,
out
Maddie.
So, friend of the pod, my Aunt Jane.
I love it.
Who we should actually probably have on because she's honestly really funny.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That's really
sorry, a little interlude. So
that was well
weekend.
Worth it.
I also
it.
Learned that when you search for us on the like podcast and stuff, all you have to put in is I talked and we come up.
Huh.
Yeah.
Look at us with our original podcast name.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
we got can we also give a shout out? Wait.
Oh yeah, a fan of the pod.
Yeah, fan of the pod. We got our first email this week. It was from Thomas. Hi Thomas.
Hi Thomas.
We got our first
Thomas.
Email from someone who told us he was listening to the podcast and he had some suggestions for episodes and some of them were already on our list and some of them, one in particular, I had not thought about but I really liked it and I really want to do it.
There was one, I don't know if it's the same one that we were both thinking of, but there was one, the one I said was a good idea.
Yeah, there were a couple. couple of really good ideas. So thank you, Thomas. If you have any good ideas for episodes for us to do, you can shoot us an email. We are totallypausedpod@gmail.com.
Yes. We obviously take suggestions.
It'll come right to our phones, and one of us will write you back right away. We'll be very excited to get it. So where were we? So they got in this big fight. James Snyder has somehow figured out what's going on. It's the day of the big game. The real Sebastian is now there, and he is completely clueless.
It's so
And
funny.
Also not good at soccer, it turns out.
It's also funny how he doesn't really question it, that he's immediately popular.
Yeah.
He's just like, okay, this is my life. I'm just one of
these guys. Maybe he's just, like, always been popular. So he just
he's walking down the hallway, and people are like, hey, Sebastian. Oh, Sebastian, come here. Oh, wait, you next, Sebastian.
And nobody realizes...
It's not
the same person.
Yeah. He just goes with it. Mm-hmm. And he goes with it so much that he plays in the game, too.
Like, okay.
And he's like, all right, I'm on the soccer team
now. So the parents are at the soccer game. The parents are divorced. So I guess we should have said that earlier. The parents are divorced, and that's how they've been getting away with this. They've each been telling their parents they're at the other parents' house.
Yeah. I, for a second, thought the father was the same guy as who played the coach in the beginning of the movie. I thought they looked, they're not. That's what I thought at first, and maybe because I wasn't paying attention to the first part of the movie. And I was like, oh my god, that's actually really funny. She wanted to be on the TV. He's like, no, you can't play sports. I actually was mad when I realized
that
wasn't.
The case.
Yeah. Like, he's also, like, an adult 80s like bad boy grown up. Like, he has like the sweater around his shoulders. Mm-hmm. Very preppy, both of the parents.
So the parents, now that they're like in the same room, realize that the kids have not been where they say that they've been. So evidently soccer is like a really big sport at this school. Maybe it's like the college I went to with no football team, because this is the fall. It is football season.
I also did not have a football team at my school. The baseball and soccer team.
Everyone is
deals.
Pumped about the soccer game. They even have cheerleaders at the soccer game.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Okay, no, it's not.
Why do some sports have cheerleaders and some don't? Like, baseball.
Because,
like, baseball has cheerleaders.
I'm not a sport person, though.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, baseball does not have cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. But I always wonder if baseball was because
baseball's
of,
like a quiet game.
But it's also because, you still get revved up when you're in the stadium and stuff. I was saying baseball is because more, like, fly balls. It's, like, more likely a girl's going to get hit by a baseball, I feel like, than a girl getting hit by a football, like, on the sidelines.
Sure, but soccer, like... could have cheerleaders, I guess. I don't know why they don't. Do
like
they?
Soccer's...
Maybe they do. I've never really watched professional soccer.
Basketball does, and football does.
And football does.
But there's the only ones I can just hockey. No, hockey does not.
Hockey does not.
Well, not cheerleaders. They have the ice girls, though.
Oh, what's an ice girl?
What's an ice girl?
They skate, and I don't know. They're
why didn't Tara ever try? My sister's a figure skater. Tara, why didn't you ever try to be an ice girl for the
Tara.
Flyers?
My one friend, Alexa, her sister is one of the, I don't know if she still is, but I know she was, one of the Flyers ice girls. I don't really know what they
well,
do.
They
I don't
have...
really do Flyers game.
Everyone's going to be so mad at us now that you said Alexa, because everybody's Alexas are going to go on.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm going to go let the dog out. You
she
guys keep
that
talking.
All the time.
But we're going to bleep that out now.
She gets that all the time. She hates that.
Oh, yeah.
We got her one of those as a gift for her. As a joke for Christmas. I just hate you guys.
That'd be kind of funny if you have a thing that's like, it's your name. So it's like, Siobhan, turn on the light. It's like I'm always ordering myself
you
around.
You probably can change it to like Echo or
you
Amazon
can change
or
it. I always remember, I know a girl named Alexa, and she told me that her in-laws, this was like before like everyone had an Alexa, but her in-laws had one, and she would tell me how annoying it was because you can change its name, but they wouldn't.
Can I change it to another name?
I don't know, but I know you can change it from Alexa.
I think you can. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God. I want to change my...
Yeah, you have to look
funny.
Into it.
Guys, email
me
ideas.
This is the new name in your car.
Oh, it's the new name in your car. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, RIP to Henry Fonda. I just thought that because my car's name is Jane Honda. So,
I know.
Yeah.
A couple episodes, or it wasn't our episode, when we were on Riley's podcast, Snap Back to Reality, we were talking about how Siobhan is my angel of death, and she's always the person who tells me when celebrities die. But today, I happened to have my phone in my hand texting Siobhan when the alert came up that Henry Fonda died, and I was like, oh my God! I have to tell her first.
Who's Henry Fonda?
He was more popular probably in like the 70s.
Yeah.
But Peter Fonda. So Peter Fonda was like an actor in the more like 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. Like that's with his heyday.
You know who Jane Fonda is?
It sounds familiar to me. If I knew what she was in.
She's in Grace and Frankie on Netflix. Have you ever seen?
She's like a very controversial actress.
She's
the blonde
one. Oh, she's the blonde one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's her brother.
Okay, I know what she looks like.
They're like a very famous showbiz family.
Yeah, okay. She was Barbarella. I actually really like Jane Fonda a lot.
She's also very controversial and political.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I once talked about, how much I like Jane Fonda, and the guy was a Vietnam vet, and he had a very different opinion on Jane Fonda than me.
Stalker does have cheerleaders.
Oh, it does.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Well, that wraps up that.
That wraps up that question. All right, back to the game.
Back to the game.
Yeah, so at the game, they have cheerleaders. This is apparently their really big sport. Nobody notices that this is a completely different person.
Oh, and also the parents are there because didn't the principal tell them they should come to the game?
Yes.
That's part
because
of it.
Apparently when you have a major disciplinary issue at your school, the way you handle it is to make a big announcement in the middle of a sporting event.
And that's how you announce it to the parents too. You don't give them a heads up beforehand.
Right. So the principal comes onto the field with Olivia and James Snyder and is like, stop the clock.
I know.
They stop the game and he says something. I don't know who he's talking to, but I just have the quote in my notes. He goes, I played soccer as a young man. Or was that chess? Okay.
Comes to the coach.
And he announces over the bullhorn that Sebastian is a girl.
Okay. Now, does he mean Sebastian wants to be a girl in real life?
No, I think he, knows what's going on,
okay.
But he's looking at the real Sebastian and doesn't realize it's not the same person.
Yeah.
Because they're identical.
Right.
Yes, quote-unquote. Yeah, because that's the first I wasn't sure. I'm like, because that's not cool.
No, not in 2006.
You were so nice
that
up
was,
until this point.
That was not a plot in this movie.
I know he means well. He's just trying. It's like when you, help your friend out of the closet or something. But it's like, come on, dude. That's not
Do you remember when we, in college, we
I,
had...
Of course I remember, Jessica. I know
one
what
of our
say.
Very, very best friends in the whole world.
He just
who,
wouldn't
like,
come out to us.
Just and, wouldn't come out. And, if he subscribes to our podcast, he knows who he is.
Yeah.
I hope you're not offended by us telling this story. It's not a secret.
No.
We knew he was gay.
We knew.
And we were
trust us.
Best friends.
Yeah.
We hung out every single day. The three of us were together. She was my maid of honor and he was my man of honor when I got married.
That was
her
feelings. You can't
Yeah, we were like, you don't trust us?
Yeah.
Whatever.
And we're obviously the most gay friendly people in the world.
Right. And he would not come out to us. And so we were all summer one year, we were in college, we were making him mix CDs of all different
musical theater.
And Avenue Q was new at the time, and we led one of them with If You Were Gay from Avenue Q, which I don't know if do you know that song?
I don't.
If you were gay, that'd be okay. And it's all a friend trying to say,
I like you anyway. It's the greatest song, actually.
It's great. We'll play it for you when we're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you would really enjoy Avenue Q.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, so he but then he finally later that summer, and it was such a big deal that I went home and woke my mom up to tell her when I got home.
He wouldn't appreciate the principal outing, though.
Bless his heart.
No, we would not have gone that far.
During a soccer game.
We just made him cheeky mixtapes.
Yes, we
did. We not go as far as to out him.
Which
in front of the
I think would be funnier if David Cross did that.
Deleted scene.
That's another fun song from Avenue Q. A mixtape.
Oh,
he made a mixtape.
Yeah. Shout out to Avenue Q.
Yeah, fun show.
I wonder if they'll ever make that into a movie.
It'd be really good.
Well, see, not always Broadway musicals don't always translate to film.
No.
Not lately.
No, not always well, but I think you would.
Yeah, because what has been successful that's translated?
Les Mis was hitting this.
Les Mis.
Yeah, but Les Mis was
We're biased on Les Mis because we're Hugh Jackman's biggest fan.
Yeah.
But
I think that had more mix. I mean, it was positive, but I think
I mean, Russell Crowe was a nightmare,
mixed,
but
yeah.
Hugh Jackman makes up for everything.
I forgot about Russell Crowe
Wait, do you remember the video that I showed you? I wanted the whole classroom to see this. It's a video of this guy that I watched on YouTube, and it was like a sketch, and he was playing Russell Crowe, and this was after Les Mis came out, the movie, and it was Russell Crowe singing the songs from The King and I, and it's him being really difficult to work with, and the sound mixer is working with him. He's perfect, trying to stop himself from throwing up listening to him sing, and they're exaggerating obviously, but it was
Stars is one of my favorite songs from Les Mis, and it makes my blood boil that we got a Russell Crowe version of it in what was otherwise a really good movie. Stars
is
is there out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from grace. It's towards the end.
Yeah,
is that his last scene?
No, it's
not.
Oh, no. It's his big ballad. It's really good. And it's a beautiful song, and Russell Crowe is not great.
I can't think of any
musicals. Well, Hairspray.
Into the Woods, actually. I think that's okay.
I liked
Into the Woods.
I liked it. You didn't see it? It was good. Hairspray.
Oh, Hairspray was good.
I liked Sweeney Todd. Yeah, but again, I'm like very biased because I love Johnny Depp.
And I'm a big Sweeney Todd fan, so I like that.
This isn't really a musical, but there's a movie came out a few years ago with the Lonely Islands from SNL.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Pop Star. Never Stop.
I didn't see that.
That is one of my favorite comedies
is it funny?
Of all time.
Really?
And because it's the Lonely Island. You know, they do funny songs, and it's, you know, Andy Samberg and everybody, and they're rapping and singing. But it's sort of like This Is Spinal Tap, where it's like a mockumentary about him being a big famous rapper.
We'll watch
and
that.
The songs are hilarious, and it's just goofy comedy.
Do you know, speaking of like that kind of comedy, Jared and I were rewatching for the first time in years the other night, Flight of the Conchords. I think I texted you. Have you ever watched Flight of the Conchords? Do you have HBO?
I don't. I'm sure.
You can probably find it on YouTube. The Flight of the Conchords. It's so funny. It's Jermaine Clement. Do you know who he is? He's in Moana. He's the crab.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw
it. Okay, yeah, that's.
And Brett, what was his name? Anyway, his partner, and they do these like funny. They're from New Zealand, and they do these like funny, like kind of jokey songs.
Mm.
But then they had a show on HBO that was about like them and their like lives as musicians. But then it would like have the songs in it.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was the very first song they do in the first episode is called "The Most Beautiful Girl in the Room," and it's
good.
Really funny.
The
like they
kiss
a girl in
the
room.
Wide room.
You could be a part-time model, but you probably. Still have to keep your normal job. It's really good. You would like
it. You would love you.
I probably would.
Up their songs, like
they're really funny. Highly recommend.
Yeah, I always liked Murray, their manager. That,
yeah,
like and he was
Murray.
Like
very rock and roll.
He was like a travel agent. And, like so, he always had posters of New Zealand.
New Zealand,
like,
yeah.
It rocks. And pictures of rocks.
Like rocks.
And it's like Lord of the Rings was filmed.
You know
here.
Who was on it? What's her name? She's like so famous now.
The funny girl.
The girl.
Right? Super fan,
right? Come
on. Kristen Scrawl.
Kristen Scrawl or something
Scrawl.
Like that. She does the voice of like the little dinosaur in Toy Story, and she was on that show with Will Forte. She was on Last Man on Earth.
She was on
you know exactly who she is.
Is she the one who does Bob's Burgers too?
Yes.
I know who you're talking about.
She's in it, and she plays like their like one obsessed fan. She's really funny. Kristen Schaal or something like that.
Yeah, and she's one of the pages at the end of 30 Rock. Like the last couple years, she's like a page like that's like underneath.
She's in it. It's really funny. Highly. Recommend.
Highly recommend. So, the headmaster says Sebastian's a girl, and Sebastian, the real Sebastian's there, and he's like, I'm not a girl. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, and someone's like, prove it.
And he does.
He pulls his pants down.
Yeah, he proves it. Everybody knows.
Okay. And the dad goes, that's my boy.
Oh my god.
Well, then it's like halftime, and so Amanda Bynes like grabs her brother and explains what's going on, and he's kind of like, okay. doesn't question it.
He's a pretty passive character.
Yeah.
Her brother's been trying to play soccer this whole time, is obviously failing this role.
Right.
Yeah.
So she gets the uniform, she gets back in the game, and then there's a fight. So Duke and the ex-boyfriend get into a fight on the soccer field, and it turns into like a full-on brawl.
Did you hear what the headmaster said?
No.
He said, if you want a roughhouse, take it at least 500 yards outside the school grounds.
Oy. They kind of, like, stop. She starts to confess to Duke, but, like, she just tells him she loves him without, like, telling him the other part first. Like,
the important stuff.
Right, that she's, like, not Sebastian. But she ends up coming clean. Yeah, Tatum doesn't believe she's a girl, so she flashes him.
And the dad
brother,
says,
like sister.
And the dad says, or I think the mom says, there's a lot more nudity in the sandwich.
Yeah. Than I expected, yeah. She, like, looks surprised that he doesn't, like, instantly fall in love with her. But he says that, like, the best chance for that, he gives this, like, quote. He's like, you know, like, coach always says, some people are born great, like, whatever that whole quote is. And then he says the best way for them to be great today is for them to play the game. So the coach from her old school runs up and says that they have to forfeit the game because, like, there aren't girls allowed in this league. And her coach rips up the manual and he says that at their school, they don't discriminate based on gender.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
All right.
It's all takes.
I don't know
if this
so
is
she
official,
plays
but
in the
whatever.
Game and it bugged me that she didn't put her hair in a ponytail.
Yeah.
Her hair was, like, flying around while she was playing.
I didn't even think of that.
That like, I didn't think about
totally
that
right.
either, but
yeah.
You're totally
it bugged
right.
me.
Yes.
I felt like it was so that, like, our eyes would be on her as, like, all the players were, like...
Oh, and you could pick out which one's hers.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think that they had... I know that she was, like, trained in soccer, but for this scene, do you think they also had, like, a soccer double
I
for her?
I bet you.
It
yeah.
seemed like they did.
I bet you.
Duke throws the ball, like, back in from, like, the sidelines or whatever, and he does, like, this, like, fancy, like, front flip.
Parkour.
So it comes down to, like, her penalty kick to decide the winner of the game. Her ex is in the goal.
Yeah, he's, like, trying to freak her out. He's like,
yeah,
he's I'm getting bigger, the goal's getting smaller.
I know, right where you're going to kick it. And right, like, he's just such an ass. So she kicks him, and I was, like, rooting for her so hard because he was so horrible. She kicks it, he blocks it, Duke kicks it back to her, and she kicks it in.
Yeah!
I don't know if that's legal in soccer, but I loved it.
I don't know either.
Couldn't tell you.
Should have asked my 12-year-old niece.
Did he throw it back, or did he just, like, block it and just kept going?
I don't think it ever hit the ground, so I guess it's fine.
Because if he blocks and he catches it, he has to throw it back in or kick it back in.
I think he just kicked it right back to her.
Oh, okay.
And she kicked it in.
I think that's
fun. So now they win. Everyone's down on the field. And the dad says to the real Sebastian, you should call before you go overseas. How did that kid, I guess he has like a credit card. How did he afford to just like go to London? I didn't even think about that until the dad said that.
Well, I guess, yeah, he could. I would not be shocked if like he had a credit card. Like the parents like sent him away to school with a credit card.
Yeah.
He like lives there.
Yeah. Channing Tatum's friend, Toby, the one who, like, had a crush on Eunice before, asks her out. It's really cute. They kiss. Amanda Bynes is, like, surprised that Channing Tatum is not just, like, totally cool and, like, in love with her on the soccer field. We see him back in his room, and apparently he's really into Sum 41. He has, like, multiple Sum 41 posters on his walls.
Oh, I think I do remember catching. That's a very 2006 band love, very much.
So she's getting ready for the debutante ball, but she's like, he's, like, you know, he's not going to be there, whatever. But she does send him an invitation, and she sends it with a big wheel of Gouda, which I thought was really cute.
And Gouda's an excellent cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my top three.
One of my favorite quotes of the movie, so they're at the debutante ball, he's not there, so she's, like, not going to do it, and I forget who says it to her.
Guess he's not going
to
show.
But the quote was, you don't need a man to wear a beautiful dress.
I wrote that down, too.
Aww.
I really enjoyed it. Did you notice that multiple girls were wearing the crazy puff sleeves?
Honestly, it wasn't really.
Because I was saying, is that a debutante thing? Because I know it's not a 2006 thing.
I guess it is a debutante thing. I think they would have some of those classic silhouettes for the debutantes. I'm really not sure.
Yeah, because I was cool in 2006, and I know that this was not a thing. But then, of course, Channing Tatum shows up in a suit. I don't know what made me say this, but I wrote in my notes at this point, he is a very specific brand of hot dummy. Probably because I was, like, triggered in identifying him with, like, a very specific figure in my head.
When they get introduced at the debutante ball, they, like, come and, like, make out in the front
of
the stage.
Yeah, I noted that as well. That doesn't seem appropriate for a debutante
ball. I was
like, are
they one of those couples that just, like, have to let everyone know how happy and in love they are?
We get it.
You're two hot people in love. We get it.
And now her brother's ex-girlfriend is dating her ex-boyfriend, like, okay. I
but
guess
you just got with what's his name.
Yeah, and that
yes.
was really nice.
Eunice had her happy ending.
Yeah, yeah, she did. And
she's
good
a hero
for
in the movie.
Eunice.
She deserved that. She's the best moving hero.
Yeah, 100%.
Channing Tatum tells her that if he had known she was a girl, they probably wouldn't have like talked and gotten to know each other the same way. So
yeah, that might be true. Yeah,
there is that. And she stays at her brother's school and she plays on the soccer team, which, you know, I liked that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good
cute
end of her journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you think overall?
I liked it. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. This was a good suggestion.
Yeah, it started off rough for me, but when I watched, like, the second half, I actually really liked it. And like I said, there's a lot of really funny throwaway lines.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. I think if I watched it again, I would find it even funnier.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot more you'd pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I watched it a lot as a kid. I don't know if a lot. I watched it a bunch of times, mm-hmm. though. And going into it again this time, again, haven't seen it in 5-6 years maybe, I was like, yeah, it's probably going to be okay, you know, I might get a few laughs, I might think this part's stupid, and honestly, it's pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
it's a nice, harmless comedy.
I feel like a lot of people like this movie.
And I felt like it says a lot for it, too, that we would like it now as adults, because I feel like this is the kind of movie, too, where, like, you might like it more because you watched it as a kid, so you have, like, an attachment, but, like, I never watched it as a kid, and I still thought it was, like, pretty funny as an adult.
We were seniors in college when this would have come out, so we've been like,
we wouldn't have seen that.
Like, we would have been, like, into a high school
Which is,
movie.
Like, funny, because if we can, like, transition into Amanda Bynes, so when she was in this, so if we were seniors in college, what were we, like, 22?
Yes. Around that.
And she was 20. She's only 2 years younger than us. I always think of her as much younger.
Me too.
But she's not. And I was thinking, I guess that makes sense because we were really young when all that was on.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid watching
all
that.
I watched
all
that when I was, I mean, I think all that started in 97. I was born in 96. So,
wow.
I know, I'm so sorry.
Wow.
I was born in 96, so
it was rude,
when Amanda Bynes left All That's, I think that was 2001. So, like, they were airing reruns of her on All That. But,
wow,
but
that show was on for that long?
Oh, it went way past that.
Did it really?
It went to 2004, 2005, I think. Huh. But she left the show because she got The Amanda Show.
Sure.
The Amanda Show is where I first was introduced to the Amanda Bynes.
Oh, remember the show Figure It Out? I'm just looking at what she was doing.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like a game show on Nickelodeon.
I feel like we were at the age where, like, we watched her on All That, but by the time she had, like, spinoff stuff, we were probably getting a little old for it.
Yeah, well, the Amanda Show was, like, 99 to 2002.
So we were, like, in high school by that.
Yeah, and that was, like, more...
It's exactly the years we were in high school.
Yeah, that was more geared towards, like, middle school and younger, so that wasn't, like,
right, so we
would have
been a little too old for it. That was also around the same time Dawson's Creek came out, and we were otherwise occupied.
But I think the Amanda Show is what she's best known for.
I wouldn't say
All That is what she's known for.
I would say, as far as shows go,
at least, like, ignoring movies, I would say the Amanda Show.
Yeah, because, I mean, that was her
title show.
Because they have, you know, all the clips from the shows uploaded onto the Nickelodeon YouTube channels now. They've got, like, millions of views, hundreds of thousands of views, because...
I forgot she did What I Like About You with Jenny Garth, and that was for 4 years.
That one I never saw, actually.
I've never seen that either.
Yeah, but that's 4 years for a show to be on. That's pretty good.
Did you guys ever see Big Fat Liar?
No.
Paul Giamatti and Frankie Muniz.
No.
That was one of my favorite
Frankie Muniz is, like, kind of her counterpart, right? For, like, the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was in, what's that show?
And Hilary Duff.
He was on Malcolm in the Middle.
He was on Malcolm in the Middle, and then Amanda Bynes was obviously the Amanda Show. All that.
Right.
And they put them together, and it's sort of like a telling of The Boy Who Cried Wolf. Literally, the villain's name is Marty Wolf.
Oh, really?
Played by Paul Giamatti, and that's the first movie I saw him in, and I love him, too. I love that movie. I think it's really funny.
Oh, do you know there was going to be a Hairspray 2, but they just, like, never did it? Yeah, she was going to come back for Hairspray 2,
Just make up Hairspray 2.
They made up Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Well,
I still haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either. Well, remember when we saw...
Oh, that's another very popular Broadway show that was made into a
movie.
That's
a good one. Yeah. But also, the Abbott songs were already popular. So
right.
Kinda...
You know how I feel about a jukebox musical.
Sorry. Phantom of the Opera is another one, too.
I've never seen that movie, but my brother randomly loves that movie.
I didn't like the movie. I like the show.
My sister loves that movie. One of the people I watch on YouTube, she does, like, video essays, so she kind of, like, breaks down and analyzes movies.
Oh, that's neat.
She did, like, a 45-minute, basically, essay on Phantom of the Opera, the movie, and she kind of, like, goes into everything that is wrong with this movie.
Oh, okay.
And like,
I don't know.
I was a kid when I saw it. I don't really care for it too much, but she, like, despises this movie.
That's what I mean.
And it's
I
so
like
funny
it.
Hearing her go
As, like, a theater
minutes.
Person, Phantom of the Opera is a major blind spot for me. I've never seen it on stage. I've never seen the movie. I vaguely know what it's about, but...
Oh, it's good.
My brother was like, you would like it.
It's fun.
But I like, don't love Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, that's right. You don't. And it is kind of interesting when you're, like, seeing all these typical Broadway shows to watch something that is operatic. Not obviously straight on opera, but it's, like, operatic. I've seen it at least twice. One time I was underneath the chandelier. That's
the spot.
Oh, yeah. We were lucky. And my friend Maria was obsessed with it, and that was, like, her favorite show.
Maybe I'll watch the movie.
Russell Crowe is comparable to Place of Phantom?
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler.
Oh, I like Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
His singing voice, though.
Really?
It's not too hot.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. I don't care about Phantom of the Opera. Like, Les Mis is, like, so near and dear to my heart. Like, maybe I won't care.
Yeah, it's definitely, if you ever get a chance to see it, it's definitely worth seeing. It's a reason it's been on forever.
I am going away for work the week after next, and I just found out, I'm going for training, and I just found out that I'm going to be the only one there, so I won't even, which is great, because I'm antisocial. I was worried about having to, like, hang out with people at night, but now I'm going to have nothing to do but, like, hang out in my hotel by myself, so maybe I'll watch Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, I mean,
it's on Netflix.
I didn't love it. Well, see, don't use the movie as your basis.
Mm-hmm. To make you.
Okay.
Well, I don't want you to use the movie as your basis on the show because, like, I didn't, like, the movie does not translate well for some reason. But it's pretty cool. It's, like, this girl, like, what is that? Her father works in the opera?
I know the main summary of it. It's basically she gets the role as, like, the main singer after the lead singer leaves. And she's,
Well, I mean, but it's like she's getting trained by the Phantom of the Opera. That's what he's
right,
like,
the Phantom.
Phantom. Like, she's in her dressing room, and he hears, like, angel of music, and he comes on, like, no one really sees him but her. He comes in the middle of the night, teaches her to sing. Mm-hmm. He comes, and he obviously falls in love with
all
her.
All right, maybe I need to see it. I just need to see it.
And it's like,
this one theater has, like, a legendary character who's apparently, some people believe in, some people don't believe in, that lives below the end.
Yeah, and that's the Phantom. Yeah, and so, like, if things can, like, go wrong and stuff. But, oh, my God, I love the second act opens with Masquerade, and it's so good on stage.
Yeah, I know, like,
so
some
good.
Of the songs. I just, like, and it's another issue, too. Like, I'll probably never see it on stage because there are so many other things that I would want to see.
True, yeah. But it's one of those things, there's a reason that it's been playing for decades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It definitely has mass appeal.
I would have to, like, that's one of those shows, like, if I got free tickets, I guess I would go. But, like,
oh,
there are so many other shows that, like, I would
probably get a really great deal on tickets for that because it's been on forever.
Well, the movie is much like She's the Man, is one of the movies that my sister, who's, you know, older than 2 years older than me, and my cousins were older than me, too.
Also kind of a theater kid. I taught her, too, in drama.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She watched, she had this movie on DVD,
mm-hmm.
so by extension, it was always on
mm-hmm.
TV, so I watched it, so that's how I first watched Phantom, that's how I first watched She's the Man and stuff. So these two movies are kind of, you know, both hold a similar
place
spot
in your heart.
In my memory.
That's cool.
I wouldn't say place in the heart, more like a spot in my memory.
No, what I was going to say about Hairspray 2, remember when we saw John Waters and he talked about what his sequel to Hairspray 2 would be?
I don't remember.
I just remember the one thing I had was that Link would have pimples and the pimples were going to sing at one point. And it was going to be something about the TV station. Maybe this TV station was going to close down and they had to save the TV station.
I love John Waters. We went to go see John Waters once and like he just speaks. Like he stands at a podium and like talks to you. He's great.
Yes. He has a pet little thin mustache.
Yeah, he's great.
Wait, so was he in Hairspray?
He wrote it.
He wrote
it. Well,
He's the Flasher.
Flasher.
Okay,
He wrote the, like, so remember the musical is based on, like, his original movie.
Okay.
He writes all these, like, very campy, like, he wrote Crybaby. He writes all these, like, very campy, weird movies that, like, all take place in Baltimore. One of my best friends, my college roommate, now lives in Baltimore, and he still lives there. And apparently
James
he's, like, obsessed with Baltimore.
Him.
Every time we visit there, I'm, like, on the lookout, like, when we're on the street for
James
him.
James has, like, hung out with him. Like, they were at, like, watching, like, a concert or something, and he was like, I'm going to stand by you guys.
He performs there all the time, and I'm always like, we have to go, but we haven't, like, worked it out yet.
The reason I know John Waters is I knew the name, but now I was talking about The Lonely Island and doing the pop star movie. One of the songs by The Lonely Island is called The Creep, and it's, like, it's kind of like, it's they're playing characters who are, like, really creepy people.
Right.
And John Waters does the intro and the outro. So I've seen the music video, like, a dozen times by now.
That's his cup of tea.
And I'm like, I'm assuming this guy's, like, an actor or some sort of celebrity.
No, he's
like,
a legend.
And I saw him in Hairspray, and I was like, that looks like the guy from the
it
Lonely
is.
Island.
Yeah,
video.
He's great.
He tells, like, great stories. He told this one story about how he knew Divine from life and, like, childhood and stuff. And so he talked about how, like, Divine was his first star that would be in his own home movies. And he said he remembered one where they had a convertible and he had Divine dress up as Jackie Kennedy and they redid the Kennedy assassination. And he goes, the neighbors were upset. I don't understand. I mean, it happened, like, 2 weeks prior. And I was like, wow. Like, he had that type of mind to even do that, to, like, do, like, a fake, like, assassination thing.
I
and
love
then,
him so much.
But then it was cute with how he does all these gross-out movies. He said how his parents, when Hairspray the Musical premiered on Broadway, they were, like, crying of joy because they finally had something
to be proud
they
can, like, show
of.
Their friends.
And he's like, oh, this is exactly what it is. Really great, sweet musical. It really is. It's a really good one.
Yeah, I like Hairspray.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got, so they're, oh, okay, so John Waters, one of the things he always really liked with his movies, he would try to do, like, these, like, smell-o-vision viewings where he'd have, like, a card, and it was, like, scratch and sniff, and it would, like, cue you to scratch it at, like, certain parts of the movie. And there's, like, some network that's doing a scratch and sniff episode of The Office.
Smell-o-vision is what it's called.
Yeah.
And I have the card. It's for the dinner party episode. I haven't watched it yet, but I have the scratch and sniff card that goes with it.
In one of my, this was actually really cool. So when I went to school at Manhattan College, and they had a teacher there. And it was kind of like an adjunct teacher, but he did film criticism. And so one of the things that he would find, he would purposely try to find the really random, hard-to-find movies so we wouldn't have preconceived notions mm-hmm. about, like, which was great. It was, we really had to give our real opinions. And so he did Polyester. It's the
mm-hmm.
one
I've seen
television.
That, yeah.
And so he got the cards because it recently had been re-released at, like, for, like, IFC Film Festival or something. So he got them on eBay. And we actually had one of, like, someone who's part of, like, his crew, like, come in
mm-hmm.
and, like, you know, just tell us stories and things like that.
That's cool.
That it was really cool. And he was, like, a part of the movie. That's why.
Yeah, we'll have to do a John Waters movie soon. We're going to have to do Crybaby.
I would love to do Crybaby.
It's one of my favorite movies
of
all time.
I would love to do any John Waters movie, but Crybaby, yeah, for sure.
But real quick, I think we need to talk about what happened to Amanda Bynes after
yes.
this movie.
Yeah.
Yes. So she went on to do a couple more movies. I think after this is when she did Hairspray.
She did Hairspray.
And that's why I was curious. I'm like, oh, did John Travolta be inspired by
her
voice?
I don't want to, like,
voice,
his name. Our friend who was in Hairspray, I vaguely remember him saying that, like, she was weird.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, so I was watching a bunch of interviews, not necessarily interviews, but, like, more kind
like
of
press.
Stories.
Yeah.
And she actually did an interview about November, I think, last November.
Right, not that long
and
ago.
And she, in the interview, she said, specifically during Hairspray, she was
mm-hmm.
abusing Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh.
she was kind of
mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him saying she was, like, a lot.
And so she did Sydney White, also the same year. And then she did, like, a Lifetime movie with Harry Connick Jr.,
really?
Living Proof, yeah.
He's so talented.
Now, so, and then after, basically after this is when things kind of start to drop off. Like, she did Easy A,
mm-hmm.
Which was really successful, but then she was supposed to be in post-grad, which Alexis Bledel ended up doing, and then she was also supposed to do Hall Pass, but she kept dropping out of movies. Mm-hmm.
So in 2010, she tweeted, like, it seems like she got herself in a lot of trouble with Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, she tweeted, I don't love acting anymore, so I've stopped doing it.
And so then she was kind of quiet for a while,
mm-hmm.
and then 2012 is when she started coming back on the radar in, like, a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And she was arrested for driving under the influence.
Mm-hmm. She's got that infamous mugshot.
Right. And
she set fire to her neighbor's yard and
yep.
accidentally doused her dog in gasoline.
Oy.
She ran to, I'm just going off memory,
right.
She ran to a store, burst into the back of the store to the employee's area to rinse her dog off in the sink, and that's when the employee, like, called the police on her.
And then
she had that crazy viral tweet about Drake.
Yeah, wanted to murder her pussy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when she was living, what I remember the most is when she was living in New York City. That's when I felt like it was the height of her being just wild.
Mm-hmm.
And she got arrested in New York City. Remember the cops came in and she threw the bong out the window?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when she came to
the story window.
Yeah, and when she went to court, she had that crazy blonde, cheap, frizzy wig
mm-hmm.
on. It was really sad. Like, no makeup on. Like, she looked very out of it.
The craziest thing I read about her was that in 2014, she tweeted all these things accusing her dad of, like, trying to have sex with her.
Right.
And then she later came out and said that he never did those things. The microchip in her brain made her say that, but he's the one who told them to microchip her, is what she said.
Yes.
And there's recording of her, and this story kind of ticked me off a little bit. Apparently, she was with a friend, and a friend was secretly recording her saying that she was going to kill her dad, or that she was going to throw her dad in a ditch or something like that.
Oh,
so the friend sold it to TMZ. Now TMZ, being the angels and saints
yeah,
that they are,
yeah.
they went to the parents and they said, "We're going to put this out, but we just want to let you know about it." And apparently, the family said, "That's okay. You can put it out
yeah.
there." Doesn't bother us, and we think maybe this will help her see, you know, like, she needs help
and
right
what's
now.
So crazy, like, I remember what
yeah.
struck me, like, during this time when she had, like, nobody around her. It's not like she had hangers on. Like, I
mm-hmm.
feel like a lot of times she was just by herself and wandering aimlessly,
mm-hmm.
like, around the city, and then she was, like, always, like,
posting selfies. Yeah, well, I mean,
selfies.
She was, like, famous, but, like, she's not Britney Spears.
Right.
That was one thing she did say in the interview that she did last year, that she would lay in bed, watch TV, and tweet. And
mm-hmm.
that was her whole day.
And, like,
that
do makeup. I remember at one point she talked about having, like, webbed eyes or something, saying she was the deformity. And she's like, don't make fun of my deformity. She was saying, like, this area between your nose and your eyes, technically webbed, which I don't even know what that means. You know what I mean? But so, like, she was like, I have a deformity. Don't make fun of me. It's not fun
Jeez.
Being deformed. And I was just like, you're gorgeous. And then, remember, she pierced her cheeks, and she said, this is how I knew about Blac Chyna. I never heard of her before. And Amanda Bynes was, like, obsessed with her and was like, I want to look just like Blac Chyna. And so she did, like, the blunt bangs and the straight hair, which Blac Chyna was rocking, and that's when she pierced both her cheeks. Because that's what Blac Chyna had. Boy. And so that's, like, when I first, she got on my radar in, like, 2013 or whatever.
I remember, like, not that long ago, hearing an interview with her, there was a picture that came out of her, and she was, like, heavy because her, like, antipsychotics, like, all of her meds had made
her
gain weight.
She wasn't that heavy, though.
Right, but, like, heavier than she was, and she had gained weight, and she, like, basically put out a statement just kind of saying, like, please leave me alone. Like, please don't look at me. Please don't take pictures of me.
Well, she did apologize. She said, I'm really ashamed and embarrassed with the things I said. I can't turn back time, but if I could, I would. I'm just so sorry to whoever I hurt and whoever I lied about because it truly eats away at me. And that's, like, I really believe that. Like, you know, if you're in the middle of it and you're really doing, who knows what she has, like, you know, that's her business, not our, you know. But obviously she has to be, like, heavily medicated and kind of, I don't know, she's sad. Because, you know, she's just, again, like a Britney Spears. Like, beautiful, down-to-earth, funny, and just had
this... She's on a
conservatorship,
too.
And
the best part about this, all this, was when I was, you know, doing my research, I was watching a bunch of YouTube videos, you know, talking about her. It was kind of like going through each event through the year. So it's like one video, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 2 years ago. All of these videos, they're just hardcore criticizing her. Another child star, you know, just, you know, fell off the deep end.
Well, that Britney, she went crazy, shaved her head. That's all it is.
So annoying.
No.
I love you.
We also have to remember she was working at Nickelodeon during the time this guy Dan Schneider was ahead of all that and everything. And Dan Schneider is one of those guys, they call him Dan Get in the Van Schneider.
He has
a horrible reputation. And like, it's one of those people that Hollywood that you're like, why has this guy not been arrested yet? Because he's been fired from Nickelodeon, like doesn't work there anymore. Even when he was let go, it was like, oh, we're just ending our partnership. There was, like, nothing. But there's a lot of shady stories about him. Crazy Days and Nights, like, they had something where they were alluding. It was from Amanda Bynes. Basically being like, I know I could, like, say something and get this started, but I'm just not in that type of place. I'm not trying to do that. Like, it's not going to be me. Like, I know I could, but, like, I just can't. And, like, for her, I totally understand. Like, she has, like, you know, mental... you know, problems, like, that's going to trigger something bad if she were to bring that up. Who knows what that, like, I really do believe that she was probably, like, abused back in, like, Nickelodeon days. So, and that obviously would have a huge effect on your mental stability.
So she... Now,
recently, one of the stars of one of Dan Schneider's other shows, I think it's Zoe 101.
Yeah,
she kind of came out in defense of him, saying, like,
really?
that stuff never happened. You know, it's all, like, internet.
I feel like that's...
Rumors.
People defended Michael Jackson.
Right, just because it didn't happen to you doesn't mean it
that's
didn't happen.
That's true.
And that was the other thing, too, like, how all these kids saying, well, it didn't happen to me. And it's like, yeah, but you probably had parents that cared and, like, weren't going to just let you go off and sleep in his bed. Your parents probably watched
you. Right,
because
we've talked about this on the podcast before. When you watch if you watch Leaving Neverland, the Michael Jackson documentary, I came away with that blaming the parents way more than Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was a sick person, but the parents let it happen.
Yeah, parents put the kids in that situation and let them stay in the situation, too. So... that's why I always think of that, too, when I try to be a little bit more kinder when I think about what she went through there. Just because, like, you know, we've all gone through, like, mental, like, health issues.
Sure.
But also, who knows where...
Well, you know, when this stuff started happening, like, 2010, again, I was still young. I just... I got, like, my social skills basically from TV, you know, a celebrity is a person who you laugh at if they have a public,
the thing at the time. I feel like we're not like that so much.
Right.
Now.
And you're definitely right. And I kind of look at it now like, oh my God, like we like laughed at this stuff. You know, people on TV, like they just like made fun of her and stuff. And
well, I think this was also too, before we talk about this a lot, like before social media was what it is today. And so the celebrities weren't, like, speaking for themselves as much. Like, do you remember when we were, like, in our early 20s, like, I always think of, like, our time in Atlantic City, we would, like, check Perez Hilton, like, 5 times a day.
Oh, yeah. That was, like, the main...
It was, like, our newspaper.
Yeah, that and, like, TMZ. Like, I still check TMZ, like, all the time.
Yeah, but I feel like now we can, like, follow all our celebrities on, like, Instagram.
For sure.
And that's, like, where we get our news.
In Atlantic
and that's why, like,
City
I don't really need
is
those
when
things
we
anymore.
Joined Twitter. because remember Jimmy told us to join Twitter, and
right.
I was like, why?
And we
am
were
I
like, what is the point of this?
I can text you.
Right. We were like, it's only 140 characters.
And only Ashton, yeah, and only Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore were the only two celebs, and Diablo Cody. They were
yeah.
the first three original.
I'm still not very good at Twitter.
I'm
but,
12 years on Twitter.
Are you really?
Oh.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm 11 years.
You're like pretty good at Twitter, I
feel. Do you
follow
us? Because we need more Twitter followers.
Yeah, we're having a hard time.
I totally paused Pod.
I actually have, like, well, I technically have four accounts, but I only use two. One's for my main one. It's like my Facebook account. It's like, you know, it's like for friends and family and stuff. And the other one's where I just kind of
You always need one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, please follow us on
Yeah, please do. And tell your followers to follow us. You probably have more followers than we
yeah,
do.
Yeah, so I will, like, raise it by, like, 10%.
Like 70 or something.
Oh, you know what was another thing? Like, speaking of just, like, making fun of the situation at the time. So remember the song Blurred Lines?
Yes.
Willem, Detox, and Vicky Vox are three drag queens. They did a song called Blurred Binds, and it was very, like, when you OD, because you'll OD. Oh, I wish I could remember how it went.
Wait, what was this about?
About Amanda
Bynes.
It was
like a parody.
That song darked me out so bad. Like, it was so catchy, and I love Robin Thicke. Mm-hmm. But I always remember seeing this, like, video essay, or, like, photo essay.
Every time I think of the song, I remember you telling me about it.
They had victims of, like, sexual assault holding up signs of, like, things that their attackers said to them, like, during the assault. And they were, like, almost verbatim lines from the song. Like, you know, I know you like it, you're a good girl, that kind of thing. And it was just, like, it was so dark.
I bought it. It's for 2013. I just want to remember what they said. It
sounds like a song that, like, Shane Dawson would have done back then. Mm-hmm. You guys know Shane Dawson?
Mm-mm.
No. He still is a YouTuber, he's a pretty popular one, but back in, like, 2012, 2013, all of his humor was, like, shock humor. And he would do, like, parodies of songs and stuff, and he'd just make it, like, really dark and offensive, and I guess that was the joke that was funny. You honestly don't see that too much on YouTube, Twitter anymore, but back then, early 2010s, definitely.
We'd cut this out.
Do you remember how much we used to love Robin Thicke?
Oh my god, yeah.
When that brandy hits my throat, I go
That's a great song.
That's a great album.
But yeah, so that was Blurred
Lines. And then he turned out to be so problematic. It was so sad.
Did he really? What did he do? Because I honestly have not heard from him since.
Well, he put out the song Blurred Lines.
Yeah, and I think he stole, it was like from a Marvin Gaye thing.
Yeah, and then he had like a very...
I'm sorry, I hate the fact that that lawsuit was a thing. I won't get too much into this rant, but
yeah.
Like there was a lawsuit recently with Katy Perry,
right.
And like some rapper mm-hmm. like claimed that
they did not sound the same.
You know what else didn't sound the same? Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines.
No, but hers truly didn't. I thought too. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and my thinking is that songs are always going to take inspiration from other songs.
Right,
there's
there are only so many combinations
there's
of
always,
notes.
And then there's also so many sources of inspiration you can take from.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many bands that have copied songs that sound like Beatles songs, but you don't say they ripped off the Beatles. You say
they were inspired,
by
right.
the Beatles. They listened to the Beatles growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know.
I was actually surprised that she lost that, because like I remember when I heard it, I was like, that doesn't sound anything alike.
Wasn't there something similar with Coldplay, with that song Clocks?
I don't know.
And there was like someone that they said, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's off the top of my head.
Because these lawyers exploit people who don't understand how songwriting works or how taking inspiration from another source works.
It was
Coldplay.
It's easy money.
I remember when I heard a
triple copyright lawsuit over Yellow, Trouble, and Clocks.
Oh, wow. All
songwriter Sammy Lee Smith, who claims the band stole three of his songs.
Who is this?
This is from Coldplay. This is from 2010.
No, but who is the person suing?
Sammy Lee Smith. I don't know who that is.
I'm assuming, because I don't recall that ever going to, like, trial, so maybe that never got.
Yeah, I don't know whatever happened with it. I'm not going to research it anymore, but there you go.
I'm sorry, that was my ramble.
No, we like a ramble. Please,
yeah.
We love a ramble on this show.
This
half the show is rambles. Yeah.
You can only recap movies for so long.
Yeah exactly.
But, okay, so, Amanda Bynes. I believe she went back into, not rehab, but she went into some sort of...
Like, recently.
Recently,
mm-hmm.
yes. February, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, yeah.
She got out, and then she just graduated recently from it. Her
yeah,
her
from, like, the Fashion Institute.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah, she's been doing those,
you know,
classes for a
we
while.
We wish her well.
Yeah, no, and I like that she's not doing something in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she can do, and I'm sure she has.
And apparently, like, from what I read, like, all her professors, like, loved her. She was working really hard.
Mm-hmm.
She was just trying to, like, keep her head down and, like, do her
yeah.
schoolwork.
Oh, that must just be so hard when you finally come out of that and, like, know everyone. What you were doing,
sure.
and
yeah.
just like it.
I mean, it's bad enough. Imagine being in, like, high school or college in, like, a small environment where you have, like, drama and everyone knows everyone's business, and then, like, super magnify it.
And she's still so young, too, especially
from
when that was all happening.
From the TMZ article that I was reading, it was like, yeah, Amanda Bynes had her graduation. Sources say at the graduation she was awkward. But
sure
she
was
still taking pictures with stuff, with people and stuff, and it's like...
God, like, why do you guys say that? Like, why can't you just, like, focus that she graduated
I never,
she
like, I never read
positive.
TMZ or anything like that, but... Maybe it's just because I never, like, grew up with them or anything, but
yeah.
I don't like TMZ. I don't like the way
they... No, they're, like,
know,
they're...
My friend's on a cruise ship. Look at, like, what they did for his towel. Logan is... Oh, friend of the pod,
oh,
Logan.
Hey, Logan.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
Logan, our music correspondent, he is on a cruise, and he's living his best life. And normally, I would hate someone sending me, like, so many Snapchats of their vacation, but it's literally the coolest cruise ship
I'm
I've ever seen.
I'm
going to
send you pictures of my vacation. I'm leaving
oh,
for Jamaica in 2 days.
Of course.
Oh, my God, I'm jealous.
Yeah, but he has, Jessica, they have Mario Kart, like, full-size arcade Mario Kart on this thing.
Fun.
And then they have, like, slides and rides. Like, it's, like, the most insane
cruise. What
cruise
line is he on?
Maybe Carnival? Like, he's going to, they were in Puerto Rico. I don't know if they're going somewhere else. He's been there for, like, a few days.
I played that Mario Kart arcade game.
It's so fun.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I feel like Mario Kart, it's, like, just,
yeah,
it's an arcade game.
We do.
Game,
yeah,
so
and that's
fun.
Why I was just like, I was like, this is so cool. I went on a cruise once. When I was, like, 11 to
yeah.
Bermuda. And it was awesome.
I went on, like, one in high school.
I would totally love to go on a cruise again.
I was shopping cruises recently because I was thinking about, like, what
yeah.
we're new for vacation. We do, like, a big vacation every other year. So, like, this year we're going to Jamaica. Next year we'll just go to, like, a shore town or something for
mm-hmm.
a few days. And then the following year I was looking at cruises, but we're going to go to Ireland, actually.
Oh, that's
nice.
Right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I know, jealous.
Still might be going to Japan next year.
I hope you do. My brother loves Japan.
I've been doing Duolingo, the app.
Nice.
It works for me.
Yeah.
I did it before I went to Italy, and it,
mm-hmm.
I highly recommend
weeks,
it.
But...
Oh, no. You just, all you have to do is, like, I made sure I just did, like, 10 to 15 minutes a day, if not
yeah.
more. Like, I've
mm-hmm.
tried to do more, but at least 10 to 15 to at least to review, maybe,
mm-hmm.
with what I had. Do you have tiny cards, too?
Mm-hmm.
That's from Duolingo. That's, like, the flashcard version.
Okay.
So if you kind of, like, when you're there, if you just kind of want to, like, brush up. But yeah, I was pretty proud of myself. I was really dedicated. I did really well when I was in Italy. I mean, I lost it all now. Keep it
that
up.
Was, like, one of the reasons we picked Ireland for the kids. You know, they speak English there, but they have, like,
right.
accents. They'll, like, obviously, like, feel like they're somewhere very different.
Yeah. Oh, my
for
God.
For a first
Irish
trip to Europe.
Are
oh.
so hard
well,
to
well, that's
understand.
One of the things about Japan is that a lot of the stuff is in
English
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least the people on
there's
the
also a really
English.
Good, we used it actually in Canada and Quebec, we use the Google Translate app,
mm-hmm.
and you can, like, if you're looking at, like, street signs and
oh,
stuff,
yeah.
you
I
can hold it
thing.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same thing with menus
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, too. We use that in Italy,
mm-hmm.
too.
I have this, have you ever seen, like, the virtual reality
yeah.
headset
mm-hmm.
things? There's an app that you can download for your PlayStation, and it's, like, VR, it's, like, 3D theater movies.
Uh-huh.
But it's Chinese, so I actually use the same app. I will hold it up to my TV screen and just be like,
mm-hmm.
okay, all right. It's and it's, of course, it's, like, not
that's
clear
clever.
English,
oh,
but, like,
funny.
I can generally understand what
yeah.
they're trying to say.
No, it's helpful.
It's
we used it. We went to Quebec when I was pregnant with Addie, and Judah was two. We went to visit my grandmother in Montreal, and Judah, we ended up coming home a day early because Judah got really sick.
Aww.
He, like, threw up on my grandmother's kitchen floor.
Ooh.
And I was really nervous because everything's in French. And so, like, when we went to, like, the pharmacy and we're trying to, like, get, like, medicine for him and, like, figure out what he needed, and it was all in French. And, like, I took French in high school, but, like, my
mm-hmm.
French is very limited now. So we were using the app, like, a little bit for, like, packaging and stuff like that, but
yeah.
we ended up just, there was, like, a blizzard coming. We ended up just going home.
I've never even been out of the country.
That's what I mean.
You're young.
That was my first time in Europe. I would only go to Canada and Bermuda. Those are my other times out of the country. So this
yeah.
was my real first time out of the country.
I was spoiled because my dad traveled a lot for work. So my parents always had, well, my mom's from Canada. So we went to Canada a lot, but my dad traveled a lot for work. So we had, like, tons of miles. So for my 16th birthday, my dad took me to Europe. We went to England and France. And then Jared and I went to Amsterdam on our honeymoon.
I feel like such an adult because for the first time ever, I have enough miles, not for the whole flight, but I can get at least my flight to Las Vegas.
Nice. nice.
Yeah. I'm hoping, I said that
I could get to Las Vegas.
Grown-up milestone.
I said it to Bridget hoping that she would give me the rest of the miles that I need.
Are you listening, Bridget?
Yeah. Well, by the time this is released, yeah, that's true. I'll be gone.
Las Vegas. Yeah, well, that was another reason that we picked Ireland, was because, the reason we picked it, I've always wanted to go to Ireland, but I cross-referenced, I looked at lists of the best countries in Europe to take kids to, because my kids will be, they'll be, like, almost 9 and 6 when we go, and then I looked at, yeah, and then I looked at the cheapest European airports to fly into, and you can fly, to Dublin from Philly, round trip for, like, $500.
You know where I wanted to go? I want to go to North Korea.
Why?
I've always been fascinated with it. And now that the South Korean president is saying that, like, they're going to try to unite the countries by, like, 2024, I probably will do it as well. It's a morbid curiosity for me.
I highly recommend watching, it's on Netflix.
Oh, listen, I have seen every single, there's not a documentary that you can tell me about North Korea that I haven't seen.
It's not a documentary. It's actually an episode of Conan O'Brien. Have you seen it? It's like, They put on Netflix all of the episodes where he's gone to other countries.
Oh, Conan Without Borders or something.
Yeah, and so they have a North Korea South, like, they have episodes, so you should watch that one.
Okay.
If you haven't watched that one.
Have you ever seen The Interview?
Yes.
I love that movie.
I thought that was really funny. It's really funny. Peanut butter and jealous. Hate us because he ain't us. I like James Franco.
It's always been more.
James Franco's a weirdo.
But I've planned out, like, exactly how he's been. You need to fly out to China. You need to go to this specific place at this specific time. The whole trip overall would cost me, like, about $3,000 US. And 1,000 of those dollars is basically going to go to the North Korean government.
Oh.
So it's like, I feel bad about doing that, but, like,
I really want to go.
I'm curious about it. And the hotels are terrible, and they have, like, really crappy casinos and really crappy coffee.
Maybe just plan to go for, like, 2 or 3 days.
It's not a vacation. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
and then,
I don't know if they'll do that, because all the tours are, like, 5 days in the run by the government.
Because I was saying you should go, if you're out that way, you should definitely try to get to one of those Disney parks that are out there, because they're supposed to be all
North
really
Korea.
Cool. No, not North Korea, but you were saying, talk about, like, Tokyo.
No, definitely. When
like
I go
that.
To Japan, I absolutely go to Tokyo Disney Resort. They say that Tokyo Disney Sea is the best Disney park.
I hear Disney Sea is amazing.
So,
Ireland
at some point.
Apparently it's cheap to go.
Apparently.
Well, that's what my friend in the Netherlands, he was saying, like, the other day. He was like, oh, yeah, it's like, I was looking, it's like $500 to go to Boston. Crazy. Like, that's just such, like, a cheap flight. Like, sometimes, I think I was looking at flights to go to Vegas, and my flights could be, you know, in that range.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go to a whole other country. That's why my dad for years was so mad that I didn't have a passport until I went to Italy, because he was like, what if your friends all get an amazing deal on a trip? And I was just like, I guess I'm not going to go. Like, but now I can, yeah. Jessica, I might be coming with you to Ireland.
Good.
haven't gone to the mother country yet. Although everybody, really all of my aunts and uncles that were on my Irish side, they didn't go at least until their 30s either. Oh no, that's a lie. My aunts went in, like, when they were, like, in college. But whatever. Any buying thoughts?
I just wish the best for her. Because I know she was trying to find work when she did that interview. She did that magazine interview.
I think it was Paper Magazine.
Yeah,
she
it was
with.
Paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, I'm looking for work. I'm trying to go out to go to Hollywood and go to auditions and stuff.
Oh,
like
she
that.
Wants to audition now.
Well, that's what she said. She said that she was trying to get back into it. And TMZ and all these sources, they're saying that they think what caused her to check back into rehab was because of her having the stress of going to these
auditions. If you have anxiety problems, that, and especially knowing, wow, I had a career. I was leads in many movies. Like, I was the lead. And be like, oh, my God, now I'm auditioning. And on The Hills, Misha Barton, like, that's, like, kind of part of her storyline. She's finally back in L.A. after not being around for a while.
Wait, Misha Barton's on The Hills?
You know this?
No,
yeah,
really.
She's
I
on the
that.
Hills, and she's actually pretty great on the Hills. Yeah, and so she was saying how one of the big things is that she has to go on auditions, and she was like, you know, I'm kind of like starting from scratch. And she's
right.
Like, and word travels fast, she said. She's like, if I give a bad audition, that's going to be the word on the street. It's like,
right.
I suck now, that I'm this and that. I could totally see that also going through her head, Amanda Bynes.
Sure.
With all of the, you know, mental health issues, like, you know, I'm sure she's worried that she's going to do something that someone deems weird, and then she's like, oh, God.
Right, and then that's going to be, like, it.
Like, yeah. If I was her, like, I, you know, you and I, we both deal with anxiety. Like, I know I would definitely be so self-conscious
sure.
and so worried about how I was, like, presenting myself. So I hope everything works out for her. But, I mean, people root for someone like her to do well. So I hope she finds, like, a situation that works
yeah,
for her.
Yeah, I hope
her
so, too, whatever she decides to do.
Yeah.
Well, like, this was a really good suggestion. We would not have thought of it on our own, but it was
Hey, listen,
it was a good one.
It was either this or... What was the other one that... Did I tell you the other one I was thinking of?
No,
was
it
wasn't. I'm not forgetting. It was either... It wasn't Jamie Lynn Spears. It was another, like, actress around this time. I'm forgetting who it was, but it was somebody that I grew up with. It was Lindsay Lohan or something like that.
We
love
Lindsay
Lohan.
We love
Lindsay
Lohan.
Yeah. It was some actress along those lines,
mm-hmm.
but I was just thinking because I grew
this
up with
good.
Lindsay Lohan, and
this is
I
good.
Love her dearly,
no.
and I genuinely want her to do as best as she can. I want her to have her career back, and I
yeah.
want her to be. She's,
whatever
she
career that
she
is, that she
right,
wants.
Whatever
right.
she wants to do,
oh, absolutely,
I hope she
absolutely.
Succeeds at it. And I feel like this is like an endearing, like people, I when you mentioned it, I was like, well, I feel like a lot of people really do like this movie. Like, I feel like it's also on the same part as like Easy A. Like, a lot of people love Easy A too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, I think a lot of people would like to hear about this. And like I said, I can see myself, if I was, you know, a teenager when it came out, like rewatching it, laughing and like,
yeah.
you know, having my favorite parts and stuff.
We probably would have liked it at the time.
I think we would have. I mean, yeah, I ended up liking it. It was a rough start for me in the beginning. I was just like, what is this movie?
I think I kind of felt the same way just because it has all those like, check boxes and
mm-hmm.
like okay
mm-hmm.
this is a teen comedy with a big you know teen star or teen adult star or whatever we've got to have a love triangle, we got to have a shirtless guy
mm-hmm.
scene,
you gotta have the bad
this.
Guy you have to
you
have,
gotta
like,
have the makeover scenes
right
we got a good girl character though I felt like
I
she
agree.
Was a good
okay.
tough girl.
Yeah, I agree
I think she's a great girl. That's why I texted my cousin Brenda to be like, because I figured it was too late to text Tegan, but I was like, you should have Tegan watch this movie.
Yeah
it's kind of cool that you could show someone younger because it doesn't have drugs
right.
alcohol
right.
sex like overtly.
Yeah.
So it's like rare for a teen high school movie. Yeah, it's pretty wholesome. Yeah, it's a good message.
Mm-hmm.
It's inoffensive, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, it's just, you know,
yeah.
I think it's a nice little movie.
It aged just fine. It's, you know.
Agreed.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well,
you know.
I don't know about that. I don't know if this movie could. I hate when people complain about, like, oh, people, society these days.
We watch the movies that have aged horribly.
I don't know
yeah.
if this movie would. Has.
For the movies we've watched, this is aged okay. Yeah, it's aged
yeah.
pretty good. Yeah.
yeah,
I feel like you could make this movie today.
Yeah,
it's only 13 years old. That's crazy. That's 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We've been out of college for 13 years.
I gotta keep talking about stuff like that.
You said it.
I didn't say we've been out of college for.
It's
13
the
years.
Same year. We established that.
Yeah, you don't need to make that connection. Say it out loud. I'm very young, guys. I'm very, very young.
I'm not.
I'm the youngest person ever.
Not me. not with me in the room.
Nobody's younger than me. No, nobody's younger than me.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
All right. Blake,
well,
if
you.
The people want to find you on the social
oh,
media,
yes.
where can they find you?
Oh, they can follow me on Twitter. My handle. My username is freshly_blaked.
Ooh, I like that.
I also have a private, it's the same name, but it's a private one on Instagram. Might make it public. We'll see how
this goes.
Oh, yes.
We'll see.
The public will be screaming for it.
Oh, yes. I have no doubt.
Well, you can find us on Instagram at @totallypausedpod and on Twitter at totally. Maybe that's why we don't have Twitter followers, because it's different. Totally pause.
Yeah, but we always make
pod,
it a point.
We do.
To
we're
say,
very
yeah.
clear.
It's too confusing.
Right.
Yeah.
No D, because it was too many characters. You can find me on all social media platforms at Just Paused Pod, because I don't want you to know my last name.
And you can follow me on all social media at Sio Monroe, SioMonroe. And please subscribe, rate, and review our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Only if you're going to give us 5 stars. If you're going to be rude, keep it to yourself.
Yes. we're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all the good ones.
Yeah.
And probably not so good ones.
I listen to you guys on Spotify.
Oh,
thank
and
you.
Spotify,
yeah.
Nice. Spotify's a very popular one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks, Blake. This
of
was
course.
Fun.
Yeah,
thanks
for having
me.
On.
Oh.
You're welcome back anytime.
Awesome.
It's nice to have a guy's point of view.
Yeah.
And a
yes.
child, too.
Oh.
Yes. A male infant.
A male
infant. You're older than me, Blake. I actually feel so young next to you.
Okay.
Because you're older than me. well, I guess that means
all right.
We are
outies.
Sick of running as fast as I can. Wondering if I'd get there quick or if I was a man.